No, you know what I mean? Like
the crane, like
The
the
arm, yeah,
stand.
no, I gotcha, but
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
just wondering,
yeah.
like, what does a crane actually sound like?
Like the machine or the bird?
Crane? No, I'm thinking the bird, not the heavy machine.
That went straight up like
Yeah. No, I would like to know though. It's now it's in my head.
what a crane sounds like.
Yeah.
Well,
It just sounds like a regular bird. How do you differentiate that from the rest of the bird
I'm assuming
community?
you would have to live next to cranes
That's true.
in the vicinity of a crane.
So where do you suppose cranes are local to? It's a regional thing?
Yes.
Okay, what region?
The swamps.
The
Well, we
swamps.
got swamps, but I don't know if we got cranes.
Where are cranes from?
You believe they're a migratory bird?
Where are cranes found? East
Canada.
Asia.
East Asia?
No way. There's got to be American
There's
cranes.
got to be some American cranes out there.
American cranes.
Hey, hold on.
American
American
cranes.
cranes.
American cranes. American cranes.
Yes, this one. This crane is on Cranes for Angels. He's number two.
We can just call it Crangels?
Cranes for angels.
In the summer, you can find a crane in a small bog, marsh, and prairie across northern North America and southeastern United States. In the winter, they flock to New Mexico and Texas.
So we got cranes
American
in
cranes.
Minnesota.
American cranes. American
Then
cranes.
there's different fucking
American
cranes.
cranes.
There's a sandhill crane.
Can't you just play the fucking button? Isn't there like a click here for the sound of a
Oh,
crane?
I got a fucking play. Yeah, there is actually. Hold on. Give me one
Yeah.
second.
I hear the
Hold on, I gotta plug in the gimmick, man.
The thing, man. I want to hear the crane.
All right, hold on, hold on. Let me mute this so we don't get
Now
any
it's
feedback here.
second topic now.
All right, I'm gonna write down American cranes in case we don't think of anything better.
I mean, I know we got a. I don't know what like necessarily they look like. So we got some big birds in Minnesota.
Okay.
So
Here we
I'm
go.
thinking a crane is kind of like a flamingo, but like a ghetto flamingo.
Like a gray flamingo, a dirty flamingo.
Like a dirty, yeah, dirty flamingo.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that sounds like a sweet move, by
All
the
right, so now that's the name of the show.
way. You know what I did
Dirty
last night?
flamingo.
Pulled off a dirty flamingo.
Freaking 6 pence here, and none of them are working.
All right, ready for
Oh
the sound?
yes.
This is what a. Let me
This
volume
is
up
what
here.
it sounds like when the crane cries.
When the cranes fly.
Fly. That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. See, here we go. Sounds like a woodpecker.
I was going to say, sounds like a woodpecker. Pepper?
Woodpepper. Yeah, let me get a cheesesteak with onions and wood peppers.
Small woodpecker.
Give me a wood pepper.
Little fresh
Give me
ground
a fuck
woodpecker.
wood pepper. And write that down too.
Yeah, that's kind of badass, man, for a bird to sound like that. It's not going to town on a tree or nothing. That's just a regular crane sound.
Yeah, allaboutbirds.org says it is.
Fuck, man, all about birds.org. I'm going to it. I'm in.
That's a I'm in for a crane.
Yeah, I'm
All
up for a
right.
crane.
I'll name it Fraser.
Fraser Crane. I like it.
Hey,
Well played. Yep.
We roll here on the Shining Wizard Wrestling podcast where we talk about nothing related to wrestling.
Sometimes you need to, you can't just go all wrestling all the time.
That's
Right.
right. Goddamn right, Matt.
Yeah.
God dang right. Don't say the Lord's name in vain.
What do you got there, Dr. Pepper?
No, it's a cherry Coca-Cola and sugar free. It was in the refrigerator and I needed something.
Little carbonation.
Yeah, after we ripped out the, I ripped out. My wife decided she's gonna rip out the closet.
Totally thought you said something else there.
So you've both been to my house. It's a lot of stairs to go up and down to bring all the stuff to the dumpster
That's
bag.
a fair
So
amount now.
I got my steps in for sure.
You should get one of those lifts.
Oh yeah, it's on the list.
Good, man.
It's a
You
lift
think I need
lift.
my mother-in-law drive fly going on a lift? Fucking legs aren't broken. You can walk.
Just get a lift,
well.
man.
Sometimes.
Tony is supposed to be joining us. We got a very vague text message this morning, and by vague, I mean him saying he was busy with work at 9:30. I don't know how at 9:30 in the morning you're not going to be available at 7 o'clock at night. This isn't like we don't do the show every Monday at 7 o'clock.
That's a great point, Matt.
Thank you.
He was tied up, so he's going to be late. And that's where I asked if he was wearing kinky cuffs, because that would have been nice for him.
So I didn't get that. I didn't get what that meant.
Kinky cuffs?
Kinky cuffs, yeah.
Nothing?
No.
Yeah, like the fuzzy handcuffs? Yeah,
a little bedroom cuffs.
Oh, the ones that I got for Christmas or that my birthday or something that one time.
Yeah, those ones. Kinky cuffs.
Remember that, Matt? How freaked out I was when I got them?
Yeah. You were freaked out because you got kinky cuffs?
Yeah, I don't know why.
That is weird.
Yeah, it was strange.
So we don't know where Tony is. We got Lance and Y tonight.
Nice. He's
joining us. Former MLW Tag Team Champion, fresh off of his trip to Japan for Pro Wrestling NOAH, where he participated in the N1, which is their version of the G1. Just pick a letter in the alphabet, put a 1 behind it, and then pick a Japanese wrestling promotion, and you have a tournament. My whooping cough has subsided a bit, I actually feel pretty good. You know, I feel pretty good. I did Bread Club this afternoon with my buddy Kieran.
Wow.
Who, if you watch Royal Quest 3, front row, dead center, even at ELP, put his tag title on him as he was leaving their match. So Kieran's all over Royal Quest. So if you see him, that fuck, you know, tweet at him.
Is he like the green shirt guy of New Japan now?
No, okay. No, I don't know. I don't know what kind of guy he is. He's like the British. He's like a cool British wrestling fan.
Okay.
That represents the British. Like, he's not like an obnoxious, like, progress wrestling fan where he's like, Dynamite, 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 Dynamite. Fuck you and everyone that goes to a progress wrestling show. You're all a bunch of hand jobs. He's not one of those people.
I love those chants.
So I have mixed feelings on British wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of them do that stuff all the time at other shows, too. Like, they just start making weird chants because they feel like it's their prerogative. Like, we do it, too, though. So I'm not discriminating here. Like, we do it, too. But, like the beach balls were the worst thing ever. Remember when that beach ball phase, Matt?
Oh, it's the worst.
It's the worst. But then, like, also chanting arbitrary things for no reason is also the worst.
Well, that's what the British people. So it became, like, a real thing at those progress shows. When progress was starting to get real popular, when like Jimmy Havoc was a big thing there before he got all caught up in AEW and, you know, being a giant piece of shit, which is a lot of the wrestling, independent wrestling scene in England ended up being giant pieces of shit. But that's like where a lot of that added that chanting, like hijacking a show, essentially.
Yeah. That's like a lot of, I feel like it's a lot of like, and this doesn't, I'm not meaning this to be rude, but it seems to be like the history can back me up on it. You seems to be a lot of international fans when they come in for Mania weekend and like the Raw after Mania, they start chanting like Michael Cole or Ice Cream Man or like
Ice Cream Man.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, when you went to the Raw after Mania, when Ziggler cashed in, and even that Mania, there were just chants of like, but anytime like the Shield and the Big Show and Randy Orton and Sheamus were on, that was the time where like they were like doing that 6-man feud. People didn't give a shit and would just chant about anything. Like, and then that's when they would throw beach balls. And I remember one time I took a beach ball, fucking deflated it, took it and just threw it on the ground.
Threw it on the ground. That's enough.
That's enough.
Interesting. Like, I don't know. I think it's fun.
No, I agree. I'm just kind of joking around. But
there's a time and a place for it.
Yes.
To do it for 2.5 hours nonstop is fucking obnoxious.
Yeah. Man, see, sometimes I watch the, like, Clash at the Castle, right? Them doing that, the Bayley song, right? Love it, man. Right. They're into it.
That's when they do it for Seth Rollins. It's awesome. If they did the Seth Rollins song for 3 fucking hours while you're trying to watch a pay-per-view, you'd fucking cut your ears off. Like, Van Gogh?
Yeah, it was a Van Gogh thing.
That's why I'm really nervous about LA Knights. Yeah. Like, I'm really hoping it doesn't become, like, the next what. So, like, people start doing it when, like, he's not even involved in a segment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be really, really pissed off if that happens.
Oh, you know it's going to happen.
Oh, I know it's going to happen. And like, I don't mind the yes stuff too, because at least that's like, that's supportive and it's not obnoxious. Like people are like expressing like their support for what it is, but like saying if yeah becomes the new what, I'm going to be heated as fuck.
But even like with the what's, like at this point, it's on the performer to change their cadence up so you don't give
100%.
Like Miz does a great job. They start doing it and he shuts it. He changes his cadence up and shuts it down right away.
You can't give him a chance to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we're going to give you guys a chance to sit back, relax, unwind, and listen to the Shining Wizards do what they do best, and that's talk about wrestling and interview some wrestlers. And that's all here next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 659.
Jeez-a-loo.
Coming at you live and in your ears, whatever. I don't know. I'm hitting the button.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
Mwah. Mwah. You're watching the Shining Wizard.
You're watching the Shining Wizard.
Wrestling podcast.
Wrestling podcast.
Mwah.
Hold on. There we go. Better than the last time I had to do this.
Well, yeah.
I remembered I had to, it's whatever. It's episode 659 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's, of course, wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Matt.
Handsome Kevin.
KJ Jets.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Victory Monday.
Oh, big time victory.
Everybody, right? The Vikings won, the Jets won, the Dolphins won.
Not a Vikings fan, though. Double T.
Oh, that's right. You're a Packers fan. They didn't play, so that's a win for you.
Still a win. Yep, still a win.
They didn't lose.
Not a loss. Anything that's not a loss, we count it as a win.
All right. Everybody's on Victory Monday. There was a ton of wrestling this week. We got a great guest tonight. There's no Tony. Look,
That's a victory. That's a Victory Monday right there.
Just, you know, you look at the numbers 2 weeks ago when it was just the three of us. Numbers were up. Tony comes back last week. Numbers were down, bro. Even Colby Carino couldn't help Tony.
Yeah. And if Colby Carino can't help Tony, then there's no hope.
And his pants shitting story was up there.
Yeah. Should have put that in the press release.
You know what? It was a rough week for the press release. We got a couple hits, but you know what? When you throw NXT against AEW, and the NXT family throws the fucking world at the show Tuesday night, it's hard to get any traction. We got picked up by a couple people,
and you still have like the CM Punk stuff ground swelling or under the surface. Like, what's gonna happen with that? The Observer reporting something, but nobody believes it.
Oh yeah, the CM Punk hokey pokey. He's in. Yeah. He's out. He's in. He's out.
That's it. Hokey punky.
At last news, he was out.
I don't trust that though.
Right, WWE doesn't have any interest in him now.
So let me ask you this, Matt. Based on what we know about Dave Meltzer and The Observer, and how he always had this anti-punk agenda in AEW because of the Elite, who clearly, essentially one way or another, feed him information. Do you think that people are just like working him too? Like, and being like, cause he just, cause he hates punk. And he's like, oh, no chance WWE brings him that, brings him back because he's CM Punk and he's a cancer and he's the worst in the world. Like, that's gotta be on the table, right?
I don't know. I feel like Uncle Dave has to have some kind of integrity still, right? You still have to report. You still have to go to your source. Look, but this is a huge story, right? So he's not going to look like an idiot and not report what everybody else is reporting, right? So it's not like Uncle Dave's the only one that's reporting this.
He's not. I thought he was, because I saw PW Insider had a different take on it. That there were still a negotiation.
We're just going to have to wait and find out. Look, Survivor Series is right around the corner, guys.
And so is Rumble.
Yeah.
Bro.
This is getting into like the winter months are the most exciting months for wrestling. It's fantastic.
So it's so weird that you say that, because normally they're not. Like, it's usually like the lame duck. The fourth quarter is the lame duck period before you get to the road to the WrestleMania. So, but this is now very, very intriguing, especially with like in WWE and even in AEW. It's like really, really cool. And it's
I should maybe tweak that. I mean, like, it's the most like you're anticipating the next, right, like the next chapter. So for me, it's exciting because what is on the horizon?
So I agree with that. And I think it's also because I think it's situational, right? Like if something happens that's newsworthy, you're excited to see the, like in improv, we always say, then what, or and then, or like, so like we always do that. Like, all right, so this happened, right? CM Punk got fired. Now what? Mm-hmm. Yes, and is what they say in improv. Yes, and. So like, I said it weeks ago. There's no doubt in my mind that he does not return to WWE. He has to. Unless like, who would, like Triple H would hate it? Triple H is smarter than that. Does Vince not want him back? Vince is still kind of in charge.
Vince doesn't matter at this point.
I think he does.
No.
He's in charge.
No.
I don't know.
He might not be creatively in charge, but he's in charge of hires and fires for sure.
No.
No.
I think you guys are wrong on this.
No, I think he's just I think he's just playing.
If he wants to make a decision, he has control to do it. No, I swear to God, if there's a rewrite in TV, it's coming from Vince. Even if he's not in the building, if he doesn't like something, he can veto anything. 100% accurate.
Okay.
I don't know. Put it to the room. Anyone in the chat disagree with me on this?
But having a rewrite on TV versus hiring somebody, I think, are two completely different things.
I think Vince McMahon's in charge. He's on the board.
He's on the board, but if Endeavor says, hey, this guy, we have a relationship with him.
Oh, agreed there, 100%.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Endeavor says, this guy was in UFC. He's a cash cow. We're going to fucking bring him in.
Oh, no,
People will pay buckets to see this fucking guy back in the WWE. And you, old man, with all the sexual accusations against you, you're going to fucking kiss out and make up with him. You two there, Paul.
We'll go to Paul. No, that's 100% fair. I agree with that 100%.
And isn't it within like the last 3-4 weeks that there's like he's on the outs? He's on the way out.
Old grandpa?
Yeah. There's been a lot of rumblings that they have the power to remove him.
And, oh yeah, he's not a boss. They don't want him there. They don't. But there's a reason why they kept it. I don't know what the reason is, but they kept him on.
For now. Yeah. For now, I would bet that he's not long at all for the moving forward portion of this. So.
Like okay. By this time next year, he's not there.
Yeah, I think it's less than a year. Ooh. I think it's less than a year. Yeah, from like different things that I've read, like all of these allegations and more things starting to drum up. Endeavor's just not, it's not a the proper reflection for them. And they don't want it. So if they don't want it, he doesn't have the power to stop them.
No, he definitely does not. But like everything that Endeavor, as from what I've just seen, again, I probably haven't read into it as much as you have, but like he was at the bell ringing for the like the stock exchange. Like,
but so was fucking Montez Ford. Who gives a shit?
Listen, Montez Ford is the one that's really in charge of this whole operation. Let's not get it twisted.
Well, of course, he's
the booker.
He's going to be there either way. He's the guy that sold.
No, he was there because Bianca Belair was there.
Yeah, Vince was there because Bianca Belair was there.
Yeah. Bring them chocolate titties to the bell ringing.
You want another title run?
Whip your hair back and forth.
I'm on my own. I'm on my own. My head, my head, my head, my
It sounded like you and Flintstones at the end of it.
Yeah, yabba dabba doo.
Hey, yabba dabba doo.
Yabba dabba doo.
You
He named a wrestler Dabba, I think.
Dabba Kato.
Giant guy.
Dabba Kato. Dabbo? Dabba.
Yeah, it's grab his dick and twist it guy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Dabba. Grab his Dabba and do it.
Grab his dick and twist it. So, how are you guys doing this week?
I'm good, man. Jets win. I'm happy. Very, very happy. Beat the undefeated Eagles, Matt. The Eagles.
Yeah, I know. We play the Eagles Sunday night.
You guys do?
This Sunday night.
The Fins? Fins up?
Yeah. Fins up is such a fucking cheat. I hate it. I fucking hate it.
Do they have another saying that you prefer better?
You need to have a saying. Fucking let's go Dolphins. Fins up. Fucking. I'll kick a fucking
jet
fin.
Up. I like jet up.
Jet up?
Oof. Is that a thing? That's a thing. Jet up.
Jet up.
It's like get up.
Get up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. It's just not very good.
Jet up and fly into the fucking World Trade Center. Fucking jet up. Fins up. I want to fucking go to a Jets-Dolphins game. I got to listen to all these fucking hand jobs. Fins up! Fins up! You know how stupid you sound?
Going to Jets-Dolphins game was the most miserable experience of my existence when I had season tickets. Like, because they would sit right next to us. The away section was right next to us at the old Giants Stadium. And they were all just complete jerks. They travel well, Dolphins fans. So
yeah, they're all fucking fins up. This is the fucking douchiest thing ever.
Fins up.
I fucking hate it. It's not even, it's a fin. I kick a fin. I kick a dolphin right in the face. Dolphins are cool and all, but like, yeah, like fins up. Stop. Fucking flipper, man. Every time anyone thinks of dolphins, they think of a fucking flipper. All right. Handsome Kevin, you got a new whip?
Yeah, I got a new whip, man.
That's White, exciting.
Yeah, Molly got a new one, so mine got upgraded as well. So hers is a little bit on the higher end. So, you know, mine just got upgraded a little bit. She went like 3 shelves up upgrade. I just went about 2. So yeah, it's good, though. It's good.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah, it's good. Nice. It's good. It's a good Jeep. Good Jeep. She got a much better Jeep, and I got a better Jeep.
Good Jeep. Upgrade's an upgrade, my man.
Upgrade.
All right. I dig it. I dig it.
Fins upgrade.
Anytime you get a new car is kind of like, that's fun. So, yeah.
Yes. When you plan for it, it's exciting. Fins up.
That's a different mammal.
Worse, a shark.
Yeah, so, did you guys? I don't know what's going on with Over the Top. I don't know where Tony is, so we're gonna powder on that for the time being. But did you guys, the NXT AEW battle Tuesday night, the wrestling war?
Did you
guys
back.
What did you guys What did you guys watch?
Watch both, baby.
Oh,
goddamn right. Caught bang right.
All right.
Lord's name in vain on my watch. I watched both, man. It was NXT was So I watched after the pay-per-view, like I was like, holy crap, like NXT actually might be like getting back to where it was in terms of like before it turned into like 2.0. Cause that wrestling show was absolutely phenomenal. And then, so obviously like you always want to see what the stars do, like the Codys and the John Cena's and Paul Heyman's, but you also want to see what the roster does with the Carmelo Hayes and the Trick Williams story that seems to be evolving. And the Dragunov promo with Cody was really kind of fun. I'm not sold. So I was really sold on Dragunov. I picked him to win the title like a bunch of different times on shows. And he finally did, even though I didn't pick him this one. So like, it's really intriguing. And I have like the Brawling Brutes on it too. And it's like, it was just an all around fun show. And that audience is electric. Like that audience in that Full Sail or whatever it's called is absolutely electric. And they were there for it, man. And so was I. It was good. But at the same time, Dynamite, the way that Dynamite finished was fucking entertaining as shit too. So both shows are really, really good. And it sucks that AEW took a drubbing, but I mean, I think everyone expected that, even with Adam Copeland showing up for the first time there or second time there.
I think anytime you switch nights, like you're just not gonna get the same number, right? And to Tony Khan's credit, I like that he didn't try and go like fucking balls out. Like he stayed the course.
Yep.
And I think that's something. Now look, he, you know, his social media have been out of fucking control this week. He's off his fucking rocker. But yes. I think this instance, it shows there's a little bit of growth with him where he did not book some, he stayed the course. And I think that's very important. He has his stories and he didn't stray from his stories.
Right. And I think that he, at some point, either someone told him or he just smartened up and realized, hey man, like I'm not going to win the ratings tonight. Like I'm not going to do it. So why pull all the rabbits out of the hat when you don't have to, when you're not, no matter what you do? Like, I think Eric Bischoff pointed this out on his podcast. Like, no matter what you do, like if Undertaker showed up on Dynamite, you weren't winning. So like, just don't even do it. Just stay the course, stay with the stories that you have, stay with the feuds that you have, and just present the best show you can put on. And don't try to go nuts with, maybe there were rumors of like Sasha Banks coming in for it or something like that, like, and just to pop a number or something like that. But like, it would have been foolish to do it then. Like, do it on a night where you don't have to go up against anyone, so you can put a million people in front of their TVs as opposed to 600,000.
Can I ask, just to be a little contrarian here, didn't they have two title changes?
They did.
They did. Okay. Yes.
And those were both short-term champions?
Well, Rey Fénix beat Moxley when Moxley got his bell rung. And I feel like the plan was never to have the belt on Fénix anyway, obviously. So right. I feel like this is, if they don't want the belt on Fénix, then, and if Moxley, because they called, Moxley was supposed to wrestle on this show too, I think.
He was supposed to wrestle Fénix for the title.
And so I think it only makes sense. And listen, Tony Khan loves Orange Cassidy. So like, why not put the belt back on him? And maybe that'll, Moxley's a babyface now too. So I honestly don't know where they're going to go from here. I just think it was the, I'll tell you what surprised me more was the women's title change.
I was going to say two title changes on one show, especially both short terms. And I get the reasoning behind Fénix, right? I get it. Yeah. But Saraya, she'd only had it for what, like 44 days, something like that?
And then this is the Kawashita's third reign as champion.
Yeah.
So is it going to be a transition to Timeless Tony Crowbar? Right. Like, I don't know. Like,
but
that's what it is.
If is staying the course, swapping your champions out. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't, like, I'm not saying it was a bad show or anything like that, but like staying the course, two title changes on one TV show, right? It just doesn't, I don't know. It seems silly to me.
So it was called Title Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you can't call it that and not at least have something happen. But to me, the Sheeta, like, their transitional champions to me are so predictable, like, with what they do. Like, it's just so, like, that's the only thing that, like, bothers me. Like, I know Hikaru Shida won again, all right? She's a three-time champion. She, when she won it the last time, she lost weeks later in All Out or All In, in London. So to me, this is her being another transitional champion when they finally pull the trigger on Toni Storm getting the belt back, because they're fucking strapping the rocket to Toni Storm with this new character that she stole from Crowbar. So
I can't stand it either.
I'd skip it. And a lot of people like it. I don't.
Yep.
Really?
Right with you, man.
Yeah. I just don't care for it. Like, give me badass Toni Storm, but like the freaking like leather jacket and all that shit. Like, give me that. Like, I don't, like, this is fine, but not to me. It just doesn't. And I'm sure she does a great job, but I honestly skip it every time I see it.
Yeah.
Yep. Because it's a blatant ripoff of what Crowbar was doing.
Yes.
And B, it's just like, all right, it was cool at first, but now like you're gonna run a whole show with like four different segments with you just like in black, like
Matt,
do you disagree?
I do. I love Timeless Toni Storm. I think it's highly entertaining, and I think it's it shows her range with her character work. It's something different. She went from being in this bad crew with Saraya and Ruby Soho spray painting people's faces to now chin up, tits out. Come on. It's fucking, I think it's highly entertaining.
Does she say that in those black and white things?
She says chin up, tits out all the time.
All right, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
And a ton of those promos.
All right. I didn't know that. That's I love that saying, so that's cool. But I'll give her that.
She can wrestle, and I'm sure there's a story like, does she drop the act? Like, look, Scott George, once Toni wins, the character ends. Scott George again. Saraya win was just for the home crown pop. Brendan Haney, they have Battle of the Belts, and no belts basically ever change hands. Well, that's because they feature the fucking useless Ring of Honor titles that nobody gives a flying fuck about.
And those are on Saturday nights at 10 o'clock or whatever it is, or Friday nights at 11 or whatever the heck it is. Like, this was a Dynamite, and they called it Title Tuesday. This is their main show. So something was going to happen.
Yeah, look, you had to, once they rolled out Cody, John Cena, and then the rumors of The Undertaker showing up, don't even fucking, just fucking do whatever you were going to, don't even bother. Right? Don't even, just let NXT, and look, you look, I did not watch NXT, I watched it 2 weeks ago, but like, the women's breakout tournament, I don't really give a shit, like, that's not in my wheelhouse. I know that Cody announced that they're doing the Dusty Classic, and they're doing a men's breakout tournament.
I think he's supposed to be doing something tomorrow night, too.
Like one more. He teased something else. He's going to make another announcement. So, I mean, look, if it gets more, 1.5, at the end of the day, 1.5 million people watch wrestling Tuesday night. Like, I think that's a win for everybody.
Agreed. Like, and I'm not trying to pick nits at either show because, I mean, you could easily do that for any show that you ever watch in your entire life. I enjoyed both of the shows on Tuesday night. I think I watched NXT first and then AEW after, and it was just so the Wardlow thing, whatever. I don't know if this was in the results, and I'm not sure if this happened on that show. I know we're gonna get into it on Over the Top, but Powerhouse Hobbs beat Jericho.
It was on Dynamite.
Yeah. Okay, it is there. It's right there. Okay.
Yeah, Danielson Swerve was a great match.
Yeah.
I think Swerve's the guy. He's the next AEW World Champion.
I don't see it.
I can absolutely see it. You just got to get rid of that Nana. That guy drives me fucking nuts.
You don't like the Royal Penis?
I don't like the Royal Penis.
I just don't see. Like, I love Swerve, right? Like, we've known Swerve for a very long time. Good dude, great guy, great performer, great talent. I just, for some reason, and it's not because of Nana, because, you know, Nana has become a cult phenomenon here, but, like, I just don't see him as the top guy. Powerhouse Hobbs. I see Powerhouse Hobbs, and I see like I'll see Ricky Starks even more than I see Swerve. Like Swerve is good. He's really, really good. He's borderline great. Probably is great. But I just don't see him as a company carrier, if that makes any sense. Maybe NXT, but not AEW.
Excuse me.
Oh, whooping cough.
Oh.
Sorry. You didn't think he was a company carrier after his match with Adam Page at WrestleDream?
No. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he's one of the – he might be top five in the world right now. But I don't see him as a guy that can carry a company. And that's just based on, like – and it sucks. It's just based on, like, size and presentation. That's really all it is.
I say, I don't know what he doesn't have.
He has it all. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he has it – sorry, I just contradicted myself 100%. But he doesn't – to me, he just doesn't have – he doesn't have like it to me, and I like, what the fuck am I like he just doesn't have like top guy world champ it to me for AEW, for a major company. Impact, yes. NXT, yes. MLW, yes. You know, anywhere else, yes, but not there when you have all these other guys on the show.
Yeah, but you think Adam Cole is championship material, and MJF is not some giant. Yeah. He's your world champion right now.
Fair point. I mean, I can't, it's just an intangible to me. Like, so Adam Cole, I don't think is world champ material in AEW. MJF, I do. You know, obviously Daniel Bryan, I do. Edge, I do. Christian Cage, I kind of do now because he's been the greatest thing on AEW TV in the last few months. I mean, Wardlow, I did.
Let me ask you
like
this.
I said, Powerhouse Hobbs, I do.
Let me ask you this on Dynamite. How fucking good does Jay White look with the fucking belt?
See, I don't see him. I don't see that either, man. Up, I don't see that either. He was booked so shitty the entire run, and now he's getting a world title shot on a pay-per-view? Come on, man.
Yeah, out your damn mind, son.
It's been good. Don't get me wrong. The story's been good, but he's like in the Swerve boat with me. Like, he just doesn't feel like it.
Oh, Kevin's in a boat with Swerve and Jay White.
Huh, yeah. Look at that.
Who do you throw over, Swerve?
No, I throw over Jay White.
What the fuck, man?
I love Jay White.
Oh, but you love him, but you throw him out of a boat?
But I just, it's not based on how I feel about him. It's based on how they used him. Dude, he's been like, all of a sudden, like after all of like his mid-card whatever stuff, all of a sudden, I get you have to push people somehow, but the push has been shitty as fuck. It's been decent lately. His promo on Dynamite was awesome that he cut an MJF, and MJF cut an awesome one on him. But like you brought him in like he was nothing, like he was an extra, like he was nothing. And now all of a sudden, like he was attacking with freaking Juicy. And,
yeah, they had one of the fucking greatest tag team matches of the year against FTR.
But nobody gave a shit because he was booked so fucking bad.
You didn't give a shit. I gave a shit.
I mean, all right, listen. Like I said, I can only speak for myself. This is just me here.
And if you're telling me, pick two of the four between Jay White, Swerve, Wardlow, and Hobbs. 10 times out of 10, it's Jay White and Swerve. 10 times out of 10.
You said pick one.
No, pick two of the four.
Oh, two of the four.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mentioned this when I did a show. I think I did it when I did a show with Kate. I just want them to make Wardlow and Hobbs a tag team and make them like the new, like, massive dude tag team, like, that just destroys the shit out of everybody and just dominates the division, kind of like LOD, but without the pads. Like, tell me that team wouldn't freaking slap.
It sounded like two warlords to me, but that's just me.
Two
that's
what?
Just, two I'm warlords.
Yeah, but they can work, though.
Yeah. I don't think either one of them has the charisma right now. Like, they can develop charisma, but I don't think
that's why you
have.
That's why you get a Slick or a Fuji with them. Maybe not Fuji. Fuji was tough. But Bobby, put him with the
Don't you fucking say his name.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say
Say it. Prince Nana.
No, no.
No, what was I going to say?
No, no, no.
Put it with Lana.
Who else is there? Lana. Who else is there in a managerial role that's like young and shit? Oh, put him with Smart Mark.
Nah.
Nah.
Nah. Smart Mark talking for Will Hobbs and and Powerhouse and Wardlow? I dig.
Wardlow can talk. He could just like grunt.
Yo, they did nothing with that Book of Hobbs stuff. Nothing.
Now, get it on Amazon real cheap.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Kevin's out on the Book of Hobbs.
All right.
I love Hobbs.
Did you ever finish that Todd Gordon book?
I'm like 400 pages in or 200 pages in.
400 pages in? What book are you fucking reading?
Yeah, I know. I'm 200 pages in.
I wish the fucking Todd Gordon book had 400 pages.
So I only read it at airports. Like, that's my thing. Like, I don't read when I'm home. So, like, when I go to airports, I'll read.
Oh, so, fucking fancy Kevin's always going to the airport to read. Ooh, look at me. Just go to the airport to read.
Yeah,
I will.
Like, don't even get on a plane. Just go and read.
That's what I do. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I just go and read.
You're just like going through security and reading.
That's right.
I got you.
They don't take my book away.
All right, well, our guest is here. I want to know what our guest does at the airport. If he reads, because he's just fresh off of his trip to Japan, and that's like a fucking 14-hour flight. Mr. Lance NY, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. How about y'all?
Oh, it's Kevin.
Oh,
good,
yeah.
Man.
Who cares about our guest? I'm the star of this show here.
Yeah, there, man. 14 hours, man. Long flight.
It's a long flight, right?
I will tell you one thing. I am not reading no books.
What? Why?
Not even a wrestling book?
No. See, I got a portable monitor and my Xbox. So I'll hook it up at the airport and I start playing some Call of Duty.
Oh, nice. Crazy SOB, you.
All right.
What Call of Duty you're playing?
Warzone.
Okay. Attaboy.
Well, Lance, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. Former MLW Tag Team Champion, and then fresh off of your N1 in Pro Wrestling NOAH, which is very similar to the G1 Climax that New Japan does. Pro Wrestling NOAH does same type of tournament. And you had a victory over the eventual winner, Go Shizaki. Tell us about your time in Pro Wrestling NOAH.
Man, my time was unbelievable. It was a dream come true, like, especially because my whole family from Yokozuna, my dad, Umaga, everyone wrestled all in Japan. And even my Uncle Rosie, it's like nobody from my family has been or toured Japan since I believe Umaga was the last one to be out there for all Japan. So being the newest and the freshest upcoming member of the family to be able to tour and just see, and man, it was unbelievable. I cannot wait to go back. I enjoyed it. Everything my dad ever told me, it was true. How good the food is compared to here.
Oh man.
Now I'm always curious when the American speaking wrestlers go over there, like how do you deal with the language barrier? I know that like Anthony Green is over there. I know Adam Brooks and Jack Morris and such. Like, there's a lot of American speaking wrestlers over there. But how did you deal with that challenge?
So it was tough, honestly, to begin with. But to me, I noticed if the Japanese wrestler worked with foreign guys before, it was easier. But one of my first matches in the N1 was Yuma Enzai from All Japan. He never worked a foreigner before, so I was his first one. So I had to like show videos on how to do like a Samoan drop or just certain things because he understood absolutely no English at all. But other than that, man, everybody else was pretty easy to work with. And I enjoyed definitely the different styles that they brought, especially I think whole Japan is a whole different style than American. Because every time I went in the locker room, they said, oh, bring American style here.
Wow. So, Lance, you've been in this game for a very long time. I'm assuming, like, obviously way before you even got into a ring. Let me ask you this. What do you attribute this current run, MLW, you know, NOAH, what do you attribute that to?
Sorry, I'm trying to understand.
So you've been in the game for a while. You've done a lot of great things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
100%. But this run seems to be different, at least from the outside looking in. It feels like you're actually like you're
making moves.
Making moves, exactly. So what do you attribute that to? What have you done differently? What have other people started finally seeing in what Lance has become?
Man, I'm not honestly sure, because like you said, I've been doing this almost, I believe this March will be 14 years for me. I've been doing it a long time, like, and MLW, they gave me my shot, especially after my shoulder injury. Especially, honestly, I believe the bloodline in WWE is why we are at the top and why I'm growing. Jacob's even becoming such a bigger star. Look at Cepha, who is solo now. He just got brought up and right into the main spot. So I believe the bloodline was a big help to the whole family.
Do you think that is – do you count that as a positive for you?
I do, because they say, man, you always got to do – when the time is right, man, just go out there and shine. And I believe the time was right for me. I'm more mature than what I was back in when I first began. I just wanted to do all these high spots and nothing made sense. And now I started learning and listening to my whole family and even other guys like Tommy Dreamer, who was a big help in my career.
They brought you in an MLW, and we had Colby Carino last week, and you're a second-generation superstar, and everybody knows your family lineage. How much did it mean to you that you went into MLW, and then they granted you the name the Samoan SWAT team, knowing who your father is?
Man, honestly, I was very against taking the name the Samoan SWAT team. I wanted everything to be right. Before we became the Samoan SWAT team, me and Jacob worked in Florida as a Samoan strike force. You also got them out in California as a South Pacific Savages. So I was very against the Samoan SWAT team just because it was such a big name to live up to. And I believe we could have. Juicy, who's not blood related, but he was brought in with Jacob and Rikishi, my uncle Rikishi. So we welcomed him in, but it was just the story to me didn't make sense. It was more comedy in the beginning, because if you've seen MLW, when we first came, we were like selling stuff on the street. And to me, that's not Samoan Savage. That's not the Samoan SWAT team. If you want the Samoan SWAT team, you let us go out there and start whooping people's asses right there. So we're very against it. And then once my dad was like, just run with it, and he was happy with everything, and then it started just filling in, and then we just started carrying it.
And it felt like once after you guys won the tag titles from Nduka and Calvin Tankman, it felt like that ass whooping side of the Samoan SWAT team started to come out.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Like, even though we were always doing it, even before we won the titles, that's why we had our title shot. But man, I think if they just let us go and run, we could show the world what we really can do. We can actually wrestle.
Yeah, no doubt. It was MLW needed a fresh coat of paint. And to see that you guys were brought in with Jacob, it was very refreshing. And the stuff with the calling, and even now what MLW is doing, it's nice to see that they're getting away from the goofy stuff, you know, the microman and you guys selling like shit on the sidewalk. Like, I don't watch MLW for that. If you want to watch that, there's other things to watch. Like, you guys are super talented. I want to see you go out there and kick ass. And I think that's what we got to see with your run in Pro Wrestling Noah. If anyone out there was Wrestle Universe, you could have watched the N1
yes,
stuff.
Yeah, man, I love the N1. And then even like wrestling out there, like even my friends, like, for instance, Jay Bougie, who's with Boomaye Fight Club, man, he messaged me. He goes, man, I like that Lance that wrestled in Japan. He goes, just showing out, man. And like I said, I've been doing this almost 14 years, and I want to show the world that I can succeed.
How was the reception from the fan base for you? Were you surprised to see the reaction you would get?
I kind of was. I don't know. I was very happy because every town that we wrestled in, fans always came up and brought pictures of my father. And to me, it's like, man, like these people still, they still have all this memorabilia from my family and being the third generation wrestler, following my father's footsteps. And it was awesome reaction, even because my dad wrestled the Great Muda show. I believe it's called The Masters out there 5 years ago. And the fans remember when he was out there. They remember him in New Japan and just me bringing a fresh start to Noah. I don't know. I believe I'm the first Samoan in pro wrestling Noah.
Really?
Oh.
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure, but I do believe. Because all my family wrestled New Japan, and they were all Japan.
Okay. How does that make you feel if that's true?
Man, like, stoked. Because, like I said, my family made a career out in Japan. Like, I remember being a little kid, and my father was gone for months at a time wrestling in Japan. And then also, they put me in a magazine, the weekly magazine, and they just brought my whole family, that everybody that wrestled in Japan. It was Gary Albright, the Great Kokina, it was Yokozuna, my father, Umaga, just everybody.
Oh, man, Gary Albright. I don't think enough people put at Gary. I don't think enough people remember that Gary's part of the family.
Yes, he is married. He was married in to my aunt, Monica.
What's the biggest difference between, say, wrestling, like a really good indie company in the United States, as opposed to working for like a NOAH or an indie company in Japan?
So what's the difference?
Like what do you take away from it the most?
Oh,
Kevin, you broke him.
Did I disrespect him? Was that a disrespectful question?
You son of a bitch.
That wasn't a disrespectful question, was it?
No, I think we lost his connection. He's back.
Oh, okay. Am I back?
I was about to say, I just offended Lance. Like, I've known you for like, I don't think you realize this. Like, I've known you like for a long time without ever actually like really knowing you, because I used to work for PWS.
Yes.
And WrestlePro. So I was like, oh my God, did I just offend Lance? Like, what?
Nah, the kids are probably messing with the Wi-Fi in the house, so I just got off the Wi-Fi. Gotcha.
So, what's the biggest difference for you for wrestling? Like, I guess the broader question is Japan versus the United States, I guess.
To me, it was more of like there's really no baby faces or heels. The crowd cheers for who they want to. You do spots, and if they like it, they'll clap. If they don't, like, to me, it was very different. Like, calling a match, like, you don't do your basic babyface shine, heat, spot, comeback. It's not like that sequence. It's just, I don't know. It was very different.
Yeah.
But I kind of enjoyed it in its stronger style to me.
Now, you had an impressive N1. You had eight points. You were up there with El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., Nakajima, Soya, Goshi Ozaki, who ended up winning it, but you got a victory over him. So are we going to see a Lance Anoa'i Goshi Ozaki match? Like, is there plans for you going back to Noah? Because I think people are interested in seeing you going back there.
So, me and Goshi Ozaki, I would love for it to happen again. He was a great guy to work with. You know, I watched his stuff, especially watching film on him being prepared to wrestle him. I watched a lot of his Ring of Honor stuff. And man, he just killed it. And to see him, not even sure how old he is. But man, just to see him putting on match of the night every single night was ridiculous. And I enjoyed watching every bit of him. So I was kind of nervous going in there with him. And then I wasn't sure on the outcome, but I was very surprised and very grateful that he helped me out. And I got the victory over him. And maybe one day, you know, we'll be able to run it back. And same outcome, though. I will be on top. And then Dr. Wagner Jr., now he's the, the national weight champion. I also own the victory over him in the N1 also. So I would like to work him in this time for the title on the line.
And there's a couple names on the other side in the A block that you didn't get to tangle with. Like a Timothy Thatcher and I know you teamed a lot with Kinoa and Jake Lee, the champion. I think that, man, like you, pro wrestling though is so unique. And then when we see these defarring guys like yourself go over there, like it just adds a whole nother element to it. And to see the strong end one, and then just the possibilities like you and Jake Lee, I would love to see you go and challenge for the title over there.
Man, I kept calling him out, man. I was only one victory away. All I had to do was beat Nakajima in my last match, and then I would have ended up in the finals. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. But I tell you, I will be back in pro wrestling, Noah. It is for sure. Do we know when? Can't release that yet. But you will see Lance on the Wire back in pro wrestling, Noah.
You said you like the strong style. Do you, with the tournament foundation, the way the tournament is done, the back to back nights, does that take a toll on you?
Actually, so I got injured on my second, not necessarily in the end one. One of my last matches on the tour, I ended up doing a dive. It was me and Wagner Jr. versus Kenno and Psycho Clown, and I did a dive. And I missed the dive, lost feelings in both my legs.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so it was kind of tough, and then I had to be ready to go. So it does take a toll on you because you'll have to be ready. You have to – I know Saxon Huxley, he injured both his knees at the N1 Rumble, and then we had to get going to the very next day. So he had to tape both his knees up and – just go with the flow, man. Like, we're very limited, but you know, we'll still show out.
The injury that you mentioned that took place on the Marufuji show, were you able to watch the Osprey Marufuji match, or were you tending to your well-being?
So I was with the doctor at the time. I did catch a little half of that, the second half of it on the phone. I was holding my phone while the doctor was working on me, man. But then I watched it the next day, and man, that was a hell of a match, man. I love watching Will and watching Marufuji go, man. I was like, man, after watching Marufuji, I was like, I hope he can walk the next day because, man, Will's going to put him through it.
It's remarkable the impact that Marufuji has had on this generation of pro wrestlers. I don't think people realize how innovative he was, like how many people really found those early Noah tapes with Marufuji and kind of took a lot of his moves.
I watched we're always studying tape out there. It was me, Saxon, Jack Morris, Anthony Green. We're always together, and we're just watching like old All Japan, and man, just I seen Marufuji as a young boy just running the ring collecting the gear, man. I was like, wow. And then even to watch Nakajima, he wrestled Umaga at what I think he said 14 years old.
Wow. Real quick, fucking nuts.
Real quick, I just want to divert real quick. Do you ever foresee a generation of your family that will not be involved in the professional wrestling business? Like, do you see it ever stopping, or will this be just like a timeless scenario?
I don't know. I think on my end right now, my kids do not want to wrestle. So will we have a fourth generation? I'm not sure. maybe if I have a son one day, you know. And which is crazy is because like me and my wife, we always talked about having a boy, and we're always going to name our son Noah. So then having the opportunity to wrestle for pro wrestling Noah was even, it was great. So I said, man, we're just, now we got to try.
did you ever go through that in your youth, not being interested or not wanting to wrestle?
Yeah, so I never wanted to wrestle. Like, I was always a part of it. I always did run-ins with my dad, hitting random 450s or people's elbows or Bronco Busters as a kid, like 7, 8 years old. And I was always just wanted to play baseball. Baseball was my dream. That was my goal. I was going to college in Washington State, and then, but my senior year in high school, I got a knee injury, and basically, it was a setback. So, my goal after that was the second option, which was professional wrestling.
Yeah, worked out.
I gotta ask your baseball team.
You gotta what? I'm sorry.
What's your baseball team? You still watch baseball?
So I follow it now in the playoffs, so we're definitely going for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh fuck, this interview's over.
I'm a Yankees fan, but my dad is a diehard Philadelphia Phillies fan, so I'm rooting for them too. So we're good.
What the fuck is this?
There we go. Yeah. There we go.
My team's out. What do you want?
I'm born and raised in an hour from Philadelphia, so but one thing, I am not an Eagles fan. I'll tell you that much.
we'll golf clap that, but I don't know about this Phillies nonsense.
So who are you rooting for then?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'll root for the Diamondbacks. I hate everything about Philadelphia. You know what the best thing that could have happened to the Phillies and the Braves? Oh, no. The stadium explodes with everybody in it. I would have been thrilled.
Oh, boy.
Fuck out of here. I got to see these videos of this dickhead fucking Garrett Stubbs, some fucking scrub who plays for the Phillies in his stupid overalls. Fuck the Braves and fuck the Mets. No, Garrett Stubbs, fuck you. How do you like them apples, Garrett Stubbs? You nobody. Pissing me off, Garrett Stubbs.
Were you just waiting for the two fans that are all the way on the roof just to fall off?
Please. Philadelphia fans are the worst. All their sports, they suck. They throw up on kids. They pour beer on kids. They throw fucking snowballs at Santa Claus. They cheered when Michael Irvin thought he was paralyzed. You're the worst. The worst. And the best cheesesteak is in New Jersey. How do you like them apples, Philadelphia?
In Jersey, wow.
Yeah, right over the bridge. Right in like Trenton or some fucking shithole.
Oh, God, man. It's been off the rails.
How do you judge a great cheesesteak?
I mean, it's you taste by the it, taste. Yeah. Yeah. You'd eat it.
Are the onions So
when you're in Philadelphia, you got to go to a little mom and pop shop. It's called Gooey Louie's.
I've been to Gooey Louie's.
Best cheesesteak ever.
Gooey Louie's is good. It's better than Pat's or Geno's.
Oh, 100%.
Those places are overrated. And I got really annoyed. We tried to go to Pat's and Geno's when we went to the New Japan show, and I couldn't find fucking parking anywhere. Anywhere. Knock one of those fucking building downs and put a parking lot, you animals. What's wrong with you people?
How about the field right across the street?
Yeah, please. No one gives a fuck about the Eagles. I hope the Dolphins beat the dog piss out of them next week. That's what I'm rooting for. I'm all fired up. This is what happened. Sorry, Lance. I'm a little fired up here.
Yeah, Matt's a little different.
You're good.
Different in a good way. People tune in for the entertainment. You said the food was better in Japan, so I got to ask.
Oh, here it is.
Because my guy Lance Archer, he told me, raw horse meat.
Raw horse meat?
Did you eat it?
I don't know what I ate.
What, you just fucking ate whatever they put in front of you?
Exactly. That's what I did.
I guess it's better than asking, right?
You don't want to know. Like, I was eating cow tongue like every other day. Like,
ooh.
Yeah, but Lance Archer swear raw horse meat is one of the most delicious things that they serve over there. He loves it. So I ask every person that's been to Japan if they've had it. If you had it, I bet you loved it.
Oh, I bet I did.
That's a yes. That's a yes.
I gotta get me some raw horse meat too, but only in Japan. I'm not getting it from some farm here in fucking New Jersey.
The crazy thing is, I don't remember seeing any horses out there in Japan though.
They got a countryside out there.
That's a great point.
I've been to the countryside, but I've never seen a horse.
Archer was lying to us this entire time.
No, because everybody else. No. Look, we live in New Jersey. I ain't never seen a bear in my backyard. I know they're around though.
Yeah, but you've seen a horse though.
Yeah, but I ain't eating no horse in New Jersey, bro.
New Jersey horse?
No, never. If I went to the fucking Chinese place down the street and they were like raw horse, I'd be like, I'm good, thanks.
Oh, I take a shot.
You won't even eat the Bean Boozled. You're gonna take a shot on the fucking Chinese place around the corner with raw horse.
I'll do whatever Lance Archer tells me to do.
Lance Archer, or Lance Anoa'i.
Oh, both. Look at that.
I definitely got to find out if I had that though.
Yeah, who was like your who'd you go out to eat with and stuff? Did you guys have a translator?
No. Yeah, Google.
No shit. Was there a situation where you're like, you just were like, can I get more napkins? And you couldn't figure out how to fucking ask for more napkins. And it was like a frustrating situation where it's like, you're so used to like, just like, hey, can I get this? And you were like, just you couldn't get fucking more napkins or an extra packet of soy sauce or some more wasabi or whatever. I don't know.
No, because everything they just kept bringing, it was already there. Like, you already had all your napkins. You had everything. Like, as soon as you walk through the door, they hand you wet napkin to wipe your hands. Everything was so clean. It was very different. I wish Japan, like, customer service was here in America.
No, that the servers that they'd have to put their fucking phones down to take care of you. fucking lazy assholes.
And the one thing I did like though is like, it's like offensive to tip out there, so you don't tip the servers or nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of the I know in Europe too, it's the same way. Like, it's not. They get paid like a, they get like, they have a salary. They're paid a salary, so they don't get.
Yeah, so the first night I went to go leave a tip, and they told me no. Like, the boys I was with, they told me, yeah, no. They said, just the bill, that's it.
Did you, any of those weird sponsored dinners where you, like, beat up the fans?
I had no weird sponsored dinners, but I had great sponsored dinners. But not weird.
You know, the ones where, like, they want you to, like, chop them. Like, you see the videos online, they just get a chop or something.
Oh, no, I had nothing weird like that. I had great, they took me to eat great places to eat, sightseeing, everything. So it was very respectful. I guess there was a lot of respect in my family.
Did you definitely there should be. Did you do karaoke?
So I went to karaoke, but I did not sing.
Oh, come on, Lance.
So it was hard to work the tablet because everything was in Japanese. But I went out with Jack Moore. Somehow they knew how to work everything out there. Wagner Jr. knew how to work everything. I had no idea. I did sing a part of the Backstreet Boys. That's probably about it. And I think I have it on video, but I am putting that in my hidden folder.
when you said DSP, I was like, yeah, I want it that way. This guy. Basic Street Boy.
Huh?
Basic Street Boy, BSB.
Yeah.
Because I Want It That Way is the go-to.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So we one person started singing it, and then everybody just joined in.
God. That's so awesome. I'm going to go to Japan and sing karaoke.
And then the Mexican, which is Wagner, he just started singing tequila. So that was the go-to for him.
Did you do you have any beers while you're out there? Do you have any Pure and Ichiban?
So I had Sapporo.
Okay.
In Sapporo, which
nice.
Was, I did. My dad told me to go to the beer garden, but he told me on my last day there, so we didn't have time to go there. But definitely next time I do want to go to the beer garden in Sapporo. But my favorite drink was a highball, which is Japanese whiskey with club soda.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually, Tama Tonga got me on it because I met him for dinner. And a strong zero, which is like vodka and lemonade, which is 9% alcohol for like 60 cents. And after like two of them, you feel it.
Right.
So you're getting drunk on like $1.20, $1.80 if you have three, yeah.
Dream. the Kirin Ichiban, man. Next time you're out there, check it out. It's a delicious. I'm not a huge beer guy, but that's a beer. If I'm out and they have it, it's my go-to, man. It's fantastic. Yeah.
So I definitely try to stay away from beer because I was trying to lose a lot of weight. I did while I was in Japan. I did lose 27 pounds. Wow. So, yeah. So I was definitely trying to get myself right out there and come back looking different. And I feel great. I do want to keep losing more. I was hitting the gym probably twice a day out there with the guys. So I enjoyed it.
You gotta put yourself on a strict cow tongue diet here in the States.
I know. And then, yeah. So McDonald's was like really good out there. And now I come here and my kids want McDonald's. I'm like, damn, I don't want to eat this shit.
What was the difference? Wait, why was it good out there? What's the difference?
Man, like the fries did it. Like they weren't greasy. They taste fresh. Like they're like almost
they
like
weren't
a
under that
fries.
Fire all day.
Yeah. But like it was like a fresh potato. It tasted like, and then they had they had a fillet of fish, but it was just like it, but with shrimp. Amazing.
So awesome.
You see any potatoes or shrimp while you were out there?
I did not.
I know you ate some cow tongue.
I did eat the cow tongue.
Raw horse. Sorry, raw horse. I'm stuck on the cow tongue. People want to know if the Wizards eat cow tongue. I ain't eating no fucking cow tongue, people. All right?
I'll do it.
Man, it's good, man. It's good.
Is it?
It
did
is.
You know it was cow tongue?
Probably after I ate it. After? Right after I ate it. I didn't know before. I said, man, I think who was the first? I think it was a sponsor dinner, and they just ordered whatever. It was like a Korean barbecue, and they just ordered
strong
all the
zeros
meat,
in me.
And
I
just
cow tongue.
Strong zeros. I wish I could have brought like a 12-pack home.
Oh, they were like in a can?
Yeah, they're in like soda cans.
Oh, no, that sounds delicious. Yeah. I wonder if I could get them on Amazon.
You go to 7-Eleven, anywhere out there. It was good. And then do you go to even 7-Eleven, get some good beef, sushi, all that 7-Eleven?
Yeah, not here. I ain't getting those fucking gas station sushi over here. I might lose 27 pounds. I could use the help.
Man, but I think it was a lot of the walking because we did like probably 15,000 steps a day every day out there.
And then you wrestled.
And then I wrestled. Fuck, well, it was like 115 degrees the first like 2 months there.
Oh yeah, you were there a while, right? July to the end of September.
Yeah, I did 10 weeks.
God damn.
So, yeah, after the second to last week, it started cooling down, but it was still like 100.
Jeez.
Lance, what would you consider in your entire family's wrestling history, what would you consider the greatest achievement that your family has conquered?
Man, is having a family in WWE for what, the past 40 years. There at least been one member of our family in WWE since then. And then other than that, I would say having an opportunity to wrestle with my grandfather, you know, how many people could say that they had three generations in one ring actually wrestling? Like I think my grandfather went in and hit a Samoan drop at what, almost 68 years old or something he was.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I know we're having a great time. I just wanted to throw a wrestling question back in there. So like for guys like us who never really had like a real chance to actually sit down and like talk to you, and these are probably questions you get all the time, but each individual basis, just like, I'm so amazed by your family, and especially your dad, and obviously Rikishi and Afa and Sika. We go like, that's how old we are. Like we go back to like that, like we go back to them. Like I met Afa on a boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey. And
was that for ISPW?
It sure was, buddy. It sure was. And then he told my brother that he looked like Billy Kidman. So that's how, like, it's just so awe-inspiring to talk to like the later generations when you have so much respect for the lineage. Do you get that a lot?
I do. I do get that a lot. Especially now, like yesterday, for instance, I worked a show. It was my uncle Alpha Jr. show. He has a student show, and I was like a vet there, and just people just constantly like thanking me for like what me, my uncle Alpha Jr., my grandfather, my dad, everyone that, even Gene Siskey, he always thanks my family for everything that he ever accomplished in his business and in life. Like when people came to our school, like it wasn't just about wrestling. My grandfather and my dad, they taught them life in general, how to survive. And we always tell people, when you're taking a bump, like not everybody can do it. It's almost like getting hit by a car every time you hit the mat.
Yeah. Nah, so that's really cool.
There is like two moves that when you say like Samoan dynasty, Samoan family, that always like pop into my mind, and it's always the top rope splash and the Samoan drop, right? Always. Who in the family does them the best?
Oh, great question.
Oh.
Samoan drop. I would have to say Umaga got the best Samoan drop.
I agree with that.
And I would have to say I have the best splash in the family.
Ah.
I might have gone with Umaga with both, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely. Umaga had a great splash. I see the Usos are taking it a little easy on themselves lately.
I would tell them you said that, but I don't know them.
Your pops and Kishi, when they were the head shrinkers, those were they hit some pretty devastating top rope.
They went through the air like flying squirrels. It blew me away. Yeah. Like the hang time, it was amazing. Man.
The best splash I seen from Rikishi was the one to the outside on the mat, from the top rope to the outside on the mat. I forget. I believe it was.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's viral. That pops up on YouTube all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think I would ever do that. Unless it was good money. Yeah.
A couple bumps.
Yeah. Maybe after a few strong zeros, but.
I'm gonna find these fucking strong zeros.
Yeah, we're gonna get them.
You're November 3rd. They have you down there at the Crash Lucha Libre for their 12th anniversary show. Do you know what you're doing yet down there? And is this your first excursion down to the Crash?
Yes, it's my first time in Mexico. Actually, Japan was my very first international.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah. So being able to have my first international trip in Japan was awesome. But yeah, the Crash, they messaged me while I was in Japan to see if I was available. And of course, man, you know, when I'm available, I'll go. And as of right now, I'm in, I believe, a four-way, tables, ladders, and chairs match. I think that's what it said. It was in Spanish, but I try to look up.
Yeah.
Google failed you, Lance?
The anniversary show, though, looks stacked, man. Of Ray Phoenix. I see they're bringing in Keith Bryan.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see they just announced Andrade.
I like Andrade better.
It is all in Spanish, though, so I don't know who all these people
are. Yeah, I seen three words, so I was like, all right, TLC. Table's like, okay, maybe.
That's
which I'm
awesome.
Down, man. I'm cool with. I'm down for that.
Damn, man,
that's fucking awesome.
All right, clickbait question now. This is the clickbait question.
Here goes Kevin.
Matt, you have something?
No, you know what I'm going to ask. So,
clickbait question. Oh yeah, he's going to ask you something.
Do you want me to ask that before you ask the clickbait question?
I think I want to get the clickbait question out of the way first because I'm going to be disgusted by the question that you asked.
Well, yeah, but you know, the answer might be even worse than the question.
That's a very good point too. It might be bad, but it could be great.
That's also all true. Right. Yeah.
Clickbait question. Do you see yourself at some point in the next year or two involved in this Bloodline WWE storyline? Because it seems like it's never ending and it keeps having twists and turns. Do you see yourself in it?
I do see myself in it, but with my MLW contract, I don't see myself in it.
That was short and sweet. That'll still do it, though. Elaborate. Keep going. Would you want to be in it?
Oh, I would love to be in it. I want to be part of, man, ever since they brought Solo in, I thought I could have been a part of it with him. Me, I believe Jacob could be a top star in there. I believe there's a lot of us in there, especially because it's called the Bloodline. I feel like we just need all the members of the family there.
Yeah, not some fucking ginger from Canada.
All right, so is there anyone else that's, other than yourself, Jacob, and there's who else is currently professionally wrestling right now on the lower levels? Not lower
on the
levels,
family?
That's kind of disrespectful, but you know what I mean, like on the independent.
Nah, I got you.
Yeah.
So right now you got me, Jacob, you got Jacob's younger brother, Journey Fatu.
Is he the one that was training with Booker?
No, that's Umaga's son, Zilla.
Okay.
That's Umaga's youngest son. That's Zilla Fatu. And the twins' other brother, who is Tamiko, he started training. So
Alpha Junior's wrestling, right?
Yeah, Alpha Junior's still going. Well, right now he's off.
Right.
He's
How's he doing, by the way? Issues.
He's doing okay, you know. Like we all do, we all kick out. So yeah. I seen him yesterday, so he looked good. He was in good spirits, so just I told him it's a long road to recovery and don't rush to come back and just follow what the doctors say.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm trying to think who else. I believe that the twins' youngest brother, he's only 13, but he's like 6'5", and he's a football player right now. But who knows? He might get in the business soon.
6'5" at 13 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense to me.
No.
Yeah, he's huge. He's all tatted up. He got a full sleeve. He's
at 13?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen like that what was it? The 13 and under like champion, they were all talking cuz he had like a full-grown beard and he was he played football. But everybody was getting on him saying he's not 13. I said, well, that's the same issue my cousin's going to have right there. Nobody's going to believe he's 13.
Oh, no. That's insane. So now, Matt, the floor is yours.
Oh, I ask every Lance, I ask every guest this because this is the kind of podcast we are. Yeah, we got to get into the, we got to get into the, we got to get in inside the wrestler. We got to find out what happens and normal life, you know, when you're doing the chores and you're going to the grocery store and such. When was the last time you shit your pants?
Last time I shit my pants.
And is there a story? Did it ever happen in the ring?
So there was, I didn't shit my pants, but it almost happened in the ring. I was in a tag match. And the hot tag was coming to me, but I had to take a shit. So I jumped off the apron. I told them to continue the heat. They continued the heat while I ran to the bathroom to come back for the hot tag.
Fantastic.
That could be the best one, man. That might have top Colby's.
The Ethan Page one is still the best.
Oh yeah, Ethan Page has a good one. But Colby Carino's was good last week. But this is pretty damn good.
I don't know, man. Leaving the in the middle of the match when you got the hot tag to go take a shit. That's my favorite.
I knew exactly the bathroom was right over the barricade and around the corner. So I knew.
Incredible.
Could you imagine, like, you just going to take a leak and fucking Lance comes barreling through the fucking door? Brilliant.
Love it.
Man, when you gotta go, man, you gotta go.
Yeah, no, that's the, look,
Now, I really want to know what would have happened if I was in a singles match. I was just into the whole time.
Look, man, you've been around the business a long time. I'm sure you've seen people shit their pants in a match.
Oh, yeah. So I seen it at training. I was training with my grandfather's, and I was getting ready to go to the performance center for my tryout. So I got there a few days early to train, and Sam Houston was there. Are you from
Sam Houston? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah.
So me and him are working, and then Noah, one of my grandfather's students, who was in NXT as, I believe, Kona Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
So he was down there with me, and he noticed Sam Houston. He trains in white jeans. And he sees this big shit stain on his pants. But don't tell me. I find out after. When and he tells Sam Houston to put me in a headlock takeover.
So, Lance, Sam Houston's been on the show before. But the last name I expected to hear in this interview was Sam freaking Houston in a shit story. Like, you just totally made this episode the greatest of all time.
Look, Sam Houston's also the same guy that we sent a t-shirt to, and he sent us a picture wearing the wrong t-shirt of a different podcast.
Did he really?
Yes, he's such a nice guy. He was like, hey, guys, I took the picture of my shirt, and I'm like, hey, Sam, that's not our shirt.
And then I went, I think we did some sort of, we did one convention, and I had him on a live mic, and literally took the entire day.
It got dark. It got dark too because he talked about killing himself and stuff when he was in jail.
Oh God! Oh, I didn't want to go there. That's all.
Well, I mean, it did. It got dark. Yeah. I remember talking when you talked to him. Nice guy though.
Great guy.
Oh, very nice guy. Tremendous. I didn't want him to give me a headlock takeover and then a head scissors with shit stain on his white jeans. No, I'm okay. I mean,
he's still a little too old to be doing those moves too. Sam Houston is.
I wonder if Sam Houston had the Prince Nana dance before Prince Nana. No, That's how you kill an interview.
How about we ask him? He likes to talk, so just ask him.
He don't talk as much as Scotty Riggs. Scotty Riggs talked the fucking balls off a brass monkey.
Scotty Riggs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
American males.
American males.
So we got you going back to, you're going to Mexico. You're definitely going to end up back in Pro Wrestling Noah. I'm guessing, if I had to guess, probably the beginning of the year, because I know that's when they start their big shows. I'm just guessing.
When?
So we'll probably see. But what do you got going? Anything in the local area here? I know you're out in Pennsylvania here, and we're over here in Jersey, so... anything in the area where we can see? I don't see anything on your social about anything close at Lance Anoa on all social media. Make sure you give him a follow. And we got prowrestlingtees.com/Lance Anoa. It's going across the bottom of the screen, the whole interview. So if you're enjoying Lance's stuff, you want to grab a t-shirt or something, please click the link, check it out. But anything in the tri-state area you got coming up? I see you're going to Mexico. I see you like the under.
I got
like
LA coming up.
LA.
I got LA coming up for my Uncle Rikishi's company out there. I got 2 days in December. And I believe I got just my uncle's like out here in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania. That's mainly, I've been here trying to help him out with the school, especially with him being not doing so well. Well, he's doing okay, but just for his health to help him out a little bit. So I enjoy doing that. Head up the training, train with the students, all that. So, other than that, man, you know, I just work a shoot job, man, and that's what I do.
What is the reaction when you're working your, you know, one of your uncle's promotions? You tell him your rate went up. They put you back in line. Is that...
Oh man, you ever get the stink face?
No.
No. All right.
Not even close.
What's the worst way someone's pronounced your last name?
And was it me during this interview?
Probably. That's why I asked.
No, there's been so many different ways. I don't even know where sometimes they get the letters from.
You're taking like refrigerator magnets.
But I don't even know how to pronounce some of them because I always just end up correcting them anyways, or they'll be at just Anoa'i or hey, that's how it was in Japan the whole time. Anoa'i, Anoa'i. I was like, okay, cool. like I forget how my high school graduation was. Like I went there for 4 years. I knew the principal. I knew everybody there, and they still didn't know how to pronounce my last name after 4 years. So I was like, okay.
I feel a little better about myself. You could, because when I introduced you, there was a long pause because I knew I was gonna fuck it up.
I didn't even hear. How'd you say it?
Anoa'i?
No.
All right. Do we want to play a game now where me and Kevin also try this? Let's try this. All right. Anoa'i.
Close. Better.
All right.
Oh boy. I'm on the spot. I feel like I always, but like I feel confident when I say it, but I know that I'm always butchering it. Is it Anoa'i?
So it's Anoa'i.
Anoa'i. Gotcha. Yeah. Close.
Wow. So like, I've been saying,
as big fans of you've all been of your family, it just always escapes us how to like say it. And I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult. I'm sorry if it's the latter, but it's really not meant to be.
There's just too many vowels. That's what it is.
Yeah. You ever thought about switching up and going like Jackson? No?
Oh, man, this has been incredible.
I'm just going to stick with Lance. Lance. I've been saying his fucking name wrong the whole time. You didn't even correct me, Lance. Come on,
it's
man.
Okay. It's okay.
It's not okay.
Nah. We're good.
What? Shut up, Siri.
Oh, she pisses me off sometimes too.
Does she?
Bro, this was awesome.
Her and Alexa piss me off.
So I got my father an Alexa for Christmas a couple years ago. So he calls me one night. What's up, Dad? This fucking Lexus isn't doing anything. I go, I didn't buy you a car, Dad. I brought you an Alexa. This fucking Alexis. I said, oh my God, please. I said, Dad, it's an Alexa. Alexa. Lexus. It's not going to work. I tell my brother, I go, just throw the fucking thing in the garbage, please. If I say, I'll say something and it goes off in the, I have one in the bathroom behind me. It'll just go off.
Oh, yeah. I would hate to have a child named Alexa.
Do your kids now? You're a father. Do your kids, are they old enough to know what the Alexa is yet?
So they use Alexa every day to have a dance party.
What's the go to song?
I don't even know. They listen to the TikTok and then they try to find it on Alexa and they'll just dance. And then my youngest is like learning how to spell things. And then she has trouble. She says, Alexa, how do you spell this very slow?
V-E-R-Y. All
right, well, hopefully they don't learn how to order shit off of the Alexa through Amazon. Hopefully you've disconnected that function.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think they know about that function.
Well, don't let them find out.
They do
don't
not know.
Especially the holiday coming up.
Oh, yeah. You don't need that.
So my oldest will look up this interview and find it and watch it.
That's not good. No, it's been incredible. It's been a great interview.
Well, how old is your oldest?
11.
That's not good.
I mean, at 11 years old, I was looking at Playboys in the woods, so I guess it's not the worst thing in the world.
You found them.
Yeah, so?
That's where they were. Like, that's where people left them.
Where the fuck you go to the woods?
That was a thing. People left them in the woods around here. I don't know why.
It really was a thing. It really was a thing.
In the woods.
In the woods, like, in a plastic bag, under some leaves, behind a rock, like you heard about it at school, and you had to go find it.
In a plastic bag in the woods?
We're 11 years old, bro. Like,
you gotta know better. You gotta know better.
Right now, that was a legit thing. Even if they were ripped up and like, they were there. Like,
yeah,
I never heard of that in my life.
I'm with you, Lance. I'm with you.
All right, well, we're a little older than you guys. Sorry. Yeah. I couldn't just fucking Google titty. I had to go in the woods to find one. Or hope it was on like HBO at like 10 o'clock on a Saturday night when I was up late.
All right. That's it for us.
Yeah, hopefully my 11-year-old don't find this interview.
Yeah. No, we're nah. we're different, man.
You find him in the woods, then you worry.
We're good, man.
No, this generation will never know the joy of finding a nudie magazine in the woods. It was like the greatest thing ever.
He's not wrong, Lance. I'm telling you. Like, it was what it was at the time. We're talking about like 1989, 1990, 1991, 1992. It was incredible.
Like, yeah, then you find a hustler or a swank, and you are scarred for life.
Perfect 10. Oofaloo.
Oh, my God. You see what you had for lunch yesterday. Ugh.
All right. Well, Lance, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Podcast. Please be sure to follow him on all his social media platforms. Matt, go ahead.
What's up, Lance? This has been an absolute blast. I hope you had a good time. We took a big chunk out of your Monday night here, but it's been long overdue, man. We've known you forever. I did do a New Japan podcast, and I was telling him how you were our 8x10 guy when we started vending people through PWS. Like,
oh yeah,
we would reach out to you.
Oh my god! Oh wow! I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah. Long time.
I still do it.
Do you really?
I do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So this was long overdue, and I'm glad we got to finally get this done. And you're more than welcome anytime to come back on and just shoot the shit with us about whatever your next trip to Japan or your trip to the crash or whatever your kids are ordering off Alexa. We can talk about that. Whatever you want to do, man, you're more than welcome to come hang out with us. This was an absolute blast. And Tony is usually here, but Tony hates guests. So in the instance that he's here next time, you could ask him, what the fuck, bro? Why weren't you here?
That's right. He was in the woods finding magazines.
He was, you know what? He was probably Tony. I wish Tony was here. Tony trained by the illustrious Gino Caruso back in the day.
Gino Caruso.
Hey, like them apples. Gino Caruso tried to fight me when I was 17 years old.
Also sounds about right.
He didn't like my ECW attitude at the ECPW arena in Lake Hiawatha.
Lake Hiawatha.
Yeah, that's where the school is.
Is it? Oh, never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. It's right next to the place I got my hair cut.
How is that relevant?
Is anything I've said all night been relevant? Here he is. Look, he's here. He's come to defend himself.
Yeah. We can't keep him any longer. Tony lost, all right?
Tony lost. Can we add him? Is he ready?
Oh.
He's part of the show.
Hey, did you hear us talking about you?
All right.
Tony.
Get him out.
Tony. Tony. Tony.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's, Lance, he said the guest is still on.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
Nailed it, Lance.
Lance, you are awesome, man. Thank you so much. Anytime you want to come back on, please reach out, and we'd love to have you back, dude.
Nah, thank you for having me, guys. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you
so much,
bro.
Always, man. Have a good night.
Likewise. We'll talk soon, sir.
For sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Lance and oh, it's Handsome Kevin.
Hey.
That's all right. Look at this guy. Ugh,
what are we doing here?
Tony just pop it in.
I'm going to remove him because he wasn't ready.
He's doing the pop in. Hate the pop in.
Hate the pop
in. I didn't know if he knew we were talking about it. That was a lot of fun. Lance was great.
That it's couldn't amazing. Have been a coincidence.
You don't think
that he
so?
Just showed up when we just were dropping fucking haymakers on him?
I did no such thing.
Well, you should have.
I will never.
No, he's in fucking Camp T-Dunk.
Should have dropped a haymaker on him.
Hey, everybody.
Hey!
Tony's here! All right, back after this.
Did you hear us talking about you?
No, I literally just sat down here putting the computer on, and I was having problems with the audio cable, and all I hear is, Tony. So I had to fucking bow out and fix the shit. I don't even have my extension cord going. How are you boys?
Awesome.
Cool.
How are you? We've already discussed us. How are
I'm
you?
I'm fucking tired as shit, man.
Tired? What is tired as shit?
You know how shit looks fatigued when you stare at it?
I've never found myself in a situation where I'm staring at a dookie.
Yeah, well, come on.
You don't look at them?
Yeah, but do Dookies ever look energetic to you? No, they're fucking tired. Like, they've been through some shit to get to where they were.
That's fair.
All right.
Tony coming in with the fire, actually.
And the views are dropping as we speak.
No, the views are good. The listen's a whole nother story, but the views are good.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about sexy teenage boys this week.
Not yet. It's still early.
And the fact that you keep bringing it up is disturbing. Let it
because
go.
That's why we did so well 2 weeks ago.
No.
Do you guys not understand this?
We did well in spite of that.
God, I have so many jokes.
Why did
that
you
I
think Teen Beat's so popular? Sexy teenage boys.
Of course.
Is not Teen Beat still a thing?
Middle-aged men.
I don't know if they're still making Teen Beat.
Yeah, dude, Tiger Beat, right? Is that that's what it is? Tiger Beat, right? That was the thing.
Tiger Beat, Teen Beat, Beat Your Meat.
Yeah. I'm not pointing out a specific sexy teenage boy. I'm just saying.
Well, generally. Why not? Let's start. Who can we go with?
that Brendan Walsh. He was a looker on 90210.
There's how many popular teenage boys? Let me Google this. Popular teenage boys.
What's his nuts? A Jonas brother.
No, the Jonases are like 40. One of them's getting divorced.
Are they really? Yeah. Dude, I have
Why
not...
do you know so much, Tony?
It was on the news yesterday or some
the
shit.
News?
On the ticker. Yeah, on the ticker underneath. I don't want to do local news. I get yelled at for doing that.
I'm very disconnected from pop culture, so I don't know what's in or what's out.
All it's giving me is gifts, like 55 gifts that teen boys would absolutely love.
Like, oh, what would they like?
All right, well, let's take a look.
A keychain? I'm probably something if they lose their phone.
Let's see. Ray-Ban Justin rectangular sunglasses.
Who's
Soundbot shower speaker. I don't know.
Oh, shower speaker's good.
Who's rectangular?
A Doodler 3D pen, so I guess you could write in 3D now. Apparently, fragrance Bond number 9 is popular.
Oh, nice.
Big deal.
You can get a sports mug with Yankees, Cubs, Red Sox, whatever team you want. Or you can get a sports hat. Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, this is breaking some fucking ground here.
All right, what about single divorced mothers? What do they like?
Oh, fuck, yeah. They like hot teenage boys.
What about 40-year-old men that live with their dad and podcast from a basement?
Single divorced mothers likes. Likes and dislikes. Here we go.
Oh, there it is.
The ups and downs of being a single divorced mom. serious dislikes for single moms. I don't know.
Podcasting from a basement.
Five things single mothers hate to hear. Like, I don't know. This is
all right. Well, let's move on from what single mothers dislike and divorcees and all that stuff. Tony, do you happen to have any over the tops tonight?
I don't, but I can make things up as I go along.
Matt, ask the question that you asked us in the pre-show to him.
Boy. Well.
How do you know that you're going to be?
Oh, yeah. How'd you know you weren't going to be here 9:30 this morning?
Because I have to draft something for work that's due Wednesday, and I needed all day today to draft said thing. And as a matter of fact, when I got home from the office, I had my dinner, and I was working for another hour and a half before I joined you guys. So,
oh, look at you, fucking adult.
And
adulting.
I have to go back to it tomorrow, so my estimation was not incorrect.
What are you drafting?
Papers.
Anything good? You want to read it to us?
No, I don't want to read it to you.
Do you need us to spell check it for you?
No. Wait, you guys are going to spell check shit for me?
Sure. I mean, the fans, the people that love the Wizards?
Maybe. Yeah, sure. I'll put it up on the screen now. Let me fucking...
Yeah, let's tweak it. We'll see if we can change it. You know, is it a good story? Do you need some... Do you need a new
Meltzer?
Here, I'll put
this up there. Does Dave know what's there going on?
No!
What was it? I missed it. It was here and gone. What was it? I missed it. My chin was slow. God damn it.
Oh, yeah. Show him again. He'll be tweaking something.
I'm going to have to watch the replay. We're losing Kevin. Kevin's going down. He's down for the count.
What do I even have on this thing? Wait, it just says feet. What is this? What is this? Oh, Chris Jericho's foot.
Gross.
Wait for Kevin to turn around. You didn't wait for Kevin to turn around.
Oh, you mean like this?
He doesn't have his earbuds in.
I'm so glad I joined you assholes.
Oh.
Oh. What, dude, I don't even know what I have on here. It says Kate. What is this?
All right, that's cool.
Oh, my gosh. All right, enough of that.
All right, what are we doing here?
Oh, hopefully I don't have any more feet pics.
No, the first one threw me off.
Wait, what is this? It just says Kevin. What is this?
That's me.
Oh, there you go. Kevin is every entrant in the Royal Rumble.
So I think Matt Squires did this.
That's classic.
Which I love, but the only thing that bothered me is that
the Skinner spot on.
No, that the Warlord is Powers of Pain Warlord. In 1992, he was
regular Warlord. He was like Silver Phantom of the Opera Warlord.
Yet the fact that you look like a fat Colonel Mustafa right above him doesn't bother you in the least.
No, I love
that. You got no fucking neck in that picture.
I love it. That's how I roll.
Oh, boy. Brilliant. Yes.
Yeah. That was the greatest gift I ever got, by the way. No offense, guys. That was incredible.
Did you... Were we happy with the gift that we are gifted on SmackDown with our new general manager?
Yes. Although I'm kind of wondering if he's not going to be wrestling anymore, which would be kind of disappointing. I kind of dig it.
I feel like he's got to, right? At some point, there's going to be something. But here's the thing, though. His intro was very lackluster.
Yes, and 100%.
I guess because... To your point, Tony, they might not want him to be viewed as a wrestler. So, because to most of the audience, probably they don't know that he was. So, I get why they did what they did, and that's why they didn't do the grand entrance, no theme music, no actual intro coming down the aisle, which struck me as weird at first, but I understand if the goal is that they don't want him to be a wrestler.
Do you think he doesn't want to be a wrestler anymore?
No. I think he wants to be a wrestler.
I think he's probably got another couple of years in him yet. No?
But I don't think he's upset that he's not, is what I'm saying. I think he'd rather be a wrestler, but I don't think he's upset that he's not.
Like, we've heard, like, the rumors, like, all that class that was just down at the PC to get tryouts. Like, a lot of those wrestlers, like, we're going there and trying out, and maybe not for something, you know, a referee, an announcer. You know, Corey Graves used to be a wrestler, and now he's an announcer. And, you know, like these guys, like they know what they're signing up for. Like Nick Aldis is not taking this job if he still wants to be. If he thinks he's going to wrestle under the WWE banner and they say, we don't have a spot for you, but we can give you this role, almost like Adam Pierce.
Yeah, but he's was Adam gonna... Pierce ever on the table to be like anything? As it, like in the ring? I don't think so.
He was he's a former NWA world champion.
Scrap Daddy could go, man.
No, I agree. But Nick Aldis has a lot more equity than Adam Pierce to me.
Maybe in 2023, but how long has Adam Pierce been?
Oh, he's been around forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
He wrestled at Jerry Lynn's retirement show.
Yeah. Which one?
The last one.
So I don't know what their ages are in comparison. Adam Pearce, I feel like, has got to be, to me, feels like he's older than Nick Aldis.
How old do you think Adam Pearce is? 43.
42. No, maybe 44, 45.
Adam Pearce?
Yeah.
52.
You think all right, he's 50, so huh? I wanted to go there, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, wow.
Adam Pearce is 45.
Okay. All right. I think Aldis is probably around there, but a little younger. I'm going to say
maybe 42-ish, 43-ish.
I might even go. He might be right there too, though, actually. He might be 45. Like, you look at it differently when you're actually 40 and like you're just like, how long have you been watching this guy? Like, you've been watching him for a long time.
Oh, well, thanks, Scott George, for fucking ruining the bit. Nick Aldis is 36 years old.
All right, there you go. So I was way off. So he must
have started
young.
Does that include him?
He's been around forever. I can't believe he's only 36.
Well, it feels like he's been around forever.
He has been around. Dude, he was in TNA in 2008.
Yeah. He wrestled Cody Rhodes at whatever it was, Ring of Honor for the NWA championship.
Yeah. Thing. All in.
Yeah, there you go.
British Invasion, man. Him, Doug Adams, and Rob Terry.
So, Double T, do you still got Adam Pearce up on your screen there?
I do.
When was his last match?
Let's see.
It wasn't the Colt Cabana shit, was it?
December 21st, 2014, following a television taping of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Pierce lost to Cabana on a card in what was his ninth and final chapter of the Seven Levels of Hate series.
They wrestled two more matches after that fucking debacle in Australia? That's fucking nutso.
Hello.
So, 2014.
Ugh.
Why does that disgust you?
I don't know. It's just weird. Like I thought the whole thing ended when they wrestled that seventh and final match where they threw down the NWA title and just both fucking walked out. It was some nonsensical shit.
Well, I think that was the story they were telling.
No, they legit got fucked over by the promotion.
Oh, that's right. Right? Left. Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted the seventh and final match in a series for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship to be non-title. Fuck me running.
No, thank you.
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood had a lot of issues.
No, it wasn't even that. Was it even under their banner?
Let's see. The seventh and final stage of the Seven Levels of Hate would ultimately take place October 27th, 2012 in Melbourne, Australia, steel cage match. Cabana would win the bout in the series, but behind the scenes unraveling of the NWA forced the match to remain unsanctioned by the brand, thus leaving Pierce technically still champion and in possession of the NWA title. After the match, both Pierce and Cabana verbally lambasted the NWA, with Cabana refusing to accept the title that Pierce felt he fairly won. Pierce, having lost the series, felt that he could no longer go on as the recognized champion, so both men symbolically dropped the championship belt on the mat and walked away, leaving the NWA in the process. I can't believe I got through that without butchering any of it.
Hey, you want to proofread my brief?
Do I ever? It's a brief or a draft?
Well, it's a draft of a brief.
You can
Yeah, there you go.
I've had some drafty briefs.
Me too. Then I had to buy new ones.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of which, clock zero.
Unbelievable, this guy. Yeah. Why, buddy? Why?
What happened?
It was this morning.
Dude,
I was brushing my teeth. Felt like I had to let one go, and boy, did I let one go.
Yahtzee.
Now, do you finish brushing your teeth, or do you instantly?
Oh, no, I had to sit down. I had to go into wipe mode. So I'm sitting there like this, trying not to get the minty toothpaste to go down my throat. Shenanigans.
Clearly. So all this is the GM of SmackDown, and then we get our first taste of Jade Cargill on a main show as Charlotte Flair turns around and comes face to face with Jade Cargill. Are we here for this or not?
100%.
No. Yep. No. No.
What if she ran into Tessa Blanchard instead?
Why would Tessa Blanchard be there? And HK, why are you not here for Jade and Charlotte?
Because I want her to have a better dance partner.
Then
who
sucks?
Then Charlotte.
Charlotte sucks.
Yep.
Now, are we?
What you guys are watching?
Are we sure that this is where we're going, or was it just the image of Jade face to face with Charlotte? Because I think Charlotte's feuding with Io Shirai, right? Io Sky.
Yes, she's getting a title match next week against Io.
Who the fuck did she beat? Not Io. Didn't she lose that triple threat match? I think so. You know what that makes her, HK?
No, she didn't.
Fucking loser.
No, she won the triple threat match. What are you talking about?
No, not for the title. She lost.
Io Sky won. Io? She retained the title.
No, Charlotte. Tony's talking about Charlotte. Why does Charlotte get the match?
Because she got screwed.
How? Wow. She Bailey? Lost. Fuck Bailey.
I mean, all right.
Yeah, but.
This is sticking it to Bailey.
And Io Sky.
And Io Sky. You got the
greatest
of all time
against... Then how come Asuka doesn't get another shot?
Asuka's busy on NXT right now.
Yeah, she's beating up Roxanne Perez.
Why? That's not very nice.
Well, you know, you gotta bring them up. Bring them up. Rise them up.
That, to me, Charlotte and Jade, they're like mirror images of each other. Like, complete mirror images. And I said it before, and I'm here for, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, like Casablanca. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But at some point, that's going to be a main event of WrestleMania.
No doubt. This is one of those WWE, let's sow the seeds early and then kind of like put it in our back pocket. Yeah. Where like once Jade builds herself up, she'll be like, remember when I came in and you said blah, 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 blah? Well, now it's time. Let's go. Blah, blah, blah.
She'll pop up every now and then, but she won't. I don't think she'll be like in ring performing every week on any show for a while, which I kind of poo-pooed earlier. But I think it makes sense if they're doing it right, which they are right now. So like that segment was awesome. Like
you've un-poo-pooed.
I've un-poo-pooed. That's
you
right.
Put it back in the. You put the toothpaste back in the tube.
That's right.
I wish I could have this morning.
Speaking of planting seeds. We had the LA Knight Roman Reigns encounter too on SmackDown. Great season debut of SmackDown.
I loved it. Loved it. Loved everything about it. LA Knight. Obviously, this is not the greatest spot for him based on his run. So we did this with Cody too. Like everyone expects like the hot hand Kevin to all of a sudden like become the champion because everyone loves him. He's not gonna beat Roman Reigns for this championship. He's not. It's not going to happen. So whether or not you care about it or not, like generally, it's a great spot for him to be in.
I mean, at some point somebody has to.
It's gonna be Cody.
It could be, but
it has to be. Like, there's no other way.
It doesn't have to be.
No, of course, it doesn't have to be.
But at some point, somebody has to. And with what LA Knight's doing, there's not a good enough reason one way or the other to sway me that they will or they won't do it. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't. I think that he could absolutely be the guy to take the belt off of Roman. Absolutely, with what he's doing, with how he's connecting with the audience, with what he's doing in the ring right now, there's not. I mean, who's more over than LA Knight is? It's close. It's very, very close. Now, I love Cody. I'm a huge Cody guy. I'm a very strong believer that he should have been the guy at Mania this past year. But at the same time, there's no reason that you go, nope, it can't be LA Knight because it has to be Cody.
It just doesn't
have to be.
Yeah, no, of course it doesn't have to be, and audibles can be called, but to me it doesn't make enough sense other than the fact that just because John Cena put you over and you're going to be in a main event that not put you over, like he's backing you, that there's just not enough meat on this bone yet. So now if they're going to do this at Crown Jewel, if they're going to do this at Survivor Series, or if they're going to do – that's probably my thinking on this. But there's no way, which sucks, that he's going to be the one that beats Roman. He might beat somebody else someday, but he's not beating Roman to me, Matt.
You could tell the story proper, but I think at the end of the day it's Cody. It's Cody finishing the story.
He's a tag team champion with Jey Uso, Tony. He's this could be another swerve, bloodline swerve. Jey, like, I don't know. Like, and then
the only thing that concerns me is that I feel like the Roman Reigns saga is turning into like, who's going to beat the Undertaker at WrestleMania? And I don't know what they're thinking, but I don't know, man. I'd like to see Cody do it. The LA Knight's built up properly. I have a feeling once it happens, it's going to be a bit of a letdown.
Well, when Cody wins or LA Knight?
No, when somebody beats Roman Reigns, it's going to be a bit of a letdown, I think. I don't know.
I think Cody will be a huge, not like, I guess, un-poo-poo. Like, it'll be awesome. It'll be an incredible moment, I think.
Oh, and if it happens, it will be for sure. I just don't know if that's what they're going to do. WWE doesn't have a track record on these things. Speaking of which, I don't know if you guys heard, but apparently the mustachioed McMahon is no longer in charge of creative.
Huh. It's like you listened to the show earlier.
Oh, man.
Why? What happened?
Remember what I was going? Actually,
we had a similar conversation, but
This is why I joined in, because this morning after I half shit, I took a full shit and I was doing some reading. And apparently, I guess Ari Emanuel's the guy in charge of Endeavor. He's the CEO.
Right.
And it says here that it was his decision to keep people doing the jobs that they have. So that means like that Vince McMahon's going to be like on the business side and Triple H is going to be once again in head of creative. This was according to not ESPN. Jesus Christ. Where is it? I can't even find it.
Tony's a source I trust.
No, Sports Illustrated actually said that they were the ones that did it. And then, of course, you know, hashtag FDM jumped in on it as well. He talked about it, so.
I seems still like thought he had the power to veto anything he didn't like. But no, listen, fucking Tony came in and set me straight.
Wow. Well, here's what Meltzer said. There's a quote. Yeah. McMahon was the guy making all the decisions, and now Vince was, in fact, overruled, even though when he merged the company, he was told this would not happen. It did happen. It's a really interesting thing. In that statement, when Ari Emanuel was talking about the reasons the stock is down, and he mentioned Vince's name, it's very interesting. I think what's going to happen, I don't know, he's an idiot, but Vince's power is clearly marginalized. There's no way around it.
What's the post date of this article?
Today, October 16th. Yeah.
Just checking.
So here's what annoys me. The fucking stock has taken a big shit since the merger. it's down over $20. Let me check to see what it closed at today. But it was up near 105 at one point. Oh, it's actually back up today. It's up over $80. They picked up $267 today. So there you go. Oh, and they're back down $1 after hours, so they're below 80 when they open tomorrow. So fuck all.
Tony, are you excited that Orange Cassidy is your AEW International Champion again?
Thrilled. Katie barred the door. I was fucking knocking shit over. I was so excited.
Really? Katie was at your house again?
No, not Kate. Katie.
I said Katie.
Yeah. She had to bar the door for me.
Wow. Why? What was going to happen if she didn't?
I was going to go nuts in the streets, bro. I was celebrating.
Really? That's what you do on a Tuesday night?
Popping mimosas and shit. Hell yeah.
Mimosas.
I had so much mimosa, you could have thrown Chris Jericho in it.
this guy. What a reference. Who's better than Tony?
Nobody.
See, and that's the other thing that fucks me up. Every time you guys are talking about Tony Khan and you say Tony, like right away, like my ears perk up like you're talking about me. As long as you're saying good things, it's okay. It's weird.
All right.
Like, there's no Vince on the show. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no. TK, but we will refer to him as TK.
Awesome. Thank you.
And you are T-Donk.
No, please don't do that.
Well, you don't like T-Donk?
I don't want to be T-Donk, Donk-der Donk, Donkalicious, Donkalongading.
You're out on Donk.
Yeah, but you don't get to choose your nickname.
Beef?
I'm not calling you fucking beef.
You've called me fucking beef.
Back in the 90s, yes.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Kayfabe is alive.
But it's 2023, brother.
For now.
For now.
That is true.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're out on Donk?
No, I'm fucking around.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's redonkulous, Kevin.
Anything from the AEW world that you guys would like to talk about? I know we talked about NXT versus AEW and Tuesday Night Dynamite, the title changes. Rampage was what Rampage usually is, which is pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
Collision was a good show.
So other than the actual results, like, was there any big storyline development with Copeland and Christian Cage?
I mean, I didn't.
they didn't upload Collision to TNT by the time I got out of work. So
you have a DVR, dude?
No, I don't.
Do you have Comcast? Do you have like on demand shit? Because you could watch that shit on demand. No.
Yeah, but I'd rather watch it if I have the opportunity at work, and I had the opportunity today.
And
it just wasn't uploaded yet, so just makes the day go by faster.
Hey, Dago, take it easy.
He was listening, this motherfucker.
What are you talking about?
You.
Was that a joke from earlier?
The callbacks are fantastic.
Yeah, you're nailing them. That was before we went on air.
He said Dago. I've done that before. Dago as a whole. Come on.
The brilliance. Tony brings the brilliance.
I try. I don't bring the viewers. I got to bring something.
Hey, not many people have left.
Give it time.
That is true. That is true.
Stay.
Listen, Adam Copeland, like, it doesn't roll off the tongue. Like, when Kevin says the thing with Copeland, I'm like, oh, that sounds so fucking terrible.
I'm it already does. Used to it.
I don't know. Weird calling him Adam, right? Like, we can't call him Adam.
It's his fucking name.
Yeah. I know, but it's weird. Like, well, you know, what are Adam and Christian doing today?
Call him something? Would you, like, make up a corny gimmick name to give him, or would you rather just call him by his real name? I'd rather just call him by his real name.
Call him Corner.
Why?
Why?
Is that Edge? Oh, Edge. Oh, God.
I can't believe I laughed at that. Holy shit.
You reacted to that joke was,
boo! There was a melee at the end of Collision during the Danielson-Christian Cage match. Christian Cage rolled on top of Danielson to score the win after a little Ricky Starks distraction and a shot with the belt. And then there was Luchasaurus Nick Wayne stomping on Brian Danielson until FTR and Adam Copeland ran out to even the odds.
Oh, FTR popping back up on the scene.
After that horrific loss to Ricky Starks and Big Bill.
Am I the only one that doesn't give a flying fuck about Nick Wayne?
Yep.
His mom is hot and Christian Cage is going to fuck her on Dynamite. Wait.
Now I get, is she online?
Yeah, she ain't bad.
Nick Wayne's mom. Oh, look at that. It came up. Oh, mama mia.
The internet. Look at that.
Is her name Shayna?
I don't know.
Shayna Wayne?
Let us see. Shayna Wayne?
She's at Shayna 24/7 on the Instagrams. Oh, yeah, this is her.
She's open 24/7.
She looks like a younger Medusa, actually.
Hachamama.
Yeah, it ain't bad.
Yeah, so Christian likes, he bangs mom, so.
Oh, is that his gimmick now?
Gimmick now? This has been this thing that everyone he.
I thought he talked shit about people's dead fathers. Or
yeah,
something.
But then mom is lonely, so Christian Cage in his turtleneck got to show up and, you know, lay pipe.
He also said that he was going to be Edge's kid's new dad. Oof.
Oh
yeah. Look at Christian. Doing it all. What a fucking guy.
I can't picture that's Matt's like sexy voice. Oh yeah.
I don't know
that's
if
just,
I have.
That's just, oh yeah.
I don't think yeah. I have a sexy voice.
All right, is Rhiannon home?
Yeah, I don't. That's a great question.
Yeah, tell her to come upstairs.
Check. Yeah, hold on. Let me check the Google Maps.
If you have a sexy voice,
I can call her.
You have
no. She's got to be like.
She's at the Lowe's. She's over at Lowe's.
Well, give her a call.
Yeah, yeah. Put her on speaker.
Put her on speak. Yeah,
she's probably buying some of that pipe for Christian that he can lay.
See if she answers. Let's see if she answers.
Oh no!
Let's find this out.
Na-na-na-na-na.
She got me annoyed that I bothered her.
That's fine.
She's not gonna answer.
She's gotta answer.
Here we go. What?
She never answers.
Who doesn't answer their husband's phone call?
My wife. You?
Would you not answer her phone call?
I answer phone calls all the time. She don't answer.
You're such a sucker.
Oh, can we leave her a message?
She can leave her a voicemail.
Yeah.
No.
Hi, sweetie. Love you.
So she'll call you and you'll answer like that, but then you'll call her and she won't?
Not like that. Depends on what I'm doing.
Oof. I don't know.
She's at the Lowe's. She's fucking buying shit.
Pipe.
What was I going to say? Tony, the room is not entirely split, but where are you on Timeless Tony Storm?
No, don't like it. She stole my gimmick. She stole that gimmick from Crowbar. I liked the gimmick until she said timeless, and then she said timeless, and she can go scratch.
You like when she said chin up, tits out, watch for the shoe?
See, I don't hate that part of it.
Don't watch for the shoe?
What?
Don't watch for the shoe?
When's Jamie Hayter coming back?
Ah, great question.
That's all I want to know.
That's all you want to know?
Yeah, and is Butlander still the champ? That's all.
Yes. Butlander is still the TBS champ, yes.
Good for her.
Dude, have you been watching NWA Power?
I was actually watching it while I was having my dinner a little while ago. I saw the Mims title match.
Okay.
I saw the Freemans lose to fucking stupid Morton family and that other guy, Brady.
The
Pierce.
Southern Six. The Southern Whatever. Six.
Fuck them.
Whoa.
I wish they would be the Southern 86th and go drown themselves. And then I saw the face off between Goof Troop and Jack Stane. And it's about
Chris Tells. Silvio and
Goof
Bullet
Troop.
Bullet Troop.
There you go. Whatever his name is.
Bulletproof.
Yes.
Goof Troop. I'm back in on NWA, guys. I'm sorry.
Now, you know what? I'm enjoying it too.
Don't apologize.
I have been. I've got to get back on the MLW bandwagon though.
Yeah, I was I keep forgetting that these Fight Plus shows, they're like their equivalent of a pay-per-view because I was like scrolling Twitter Saturday night when I got home from work and a bunch of titles changed hands and I was like
yeah, I saw
it. I was like,
yeah.
"Oh, what the fuck?" But then I forgot that this is like they're not going to replay these shows on Fusion. Like this is a Fight Plus gimmick. So we have a brand new MLW World Middleweight Champion, Rocky Romero, with the help of Celino De La Renta.
Good for
defeated
her.
Akira. I love the fact that she's back in MLW makes it 1,000 times more entertaining.
Well, a million times more than she kicked that little midget back to Mexico.
She put him in a fucking bag and shipped him off, that little fucking turd. And then I butcher her name every time. Janai Kai? She's a kickboxing chick.
Janai Kai.
Janai Kai? J-A-N-A-I?
Cobra Kai?
No.
Janakai?
Janakai? I don't know how to pronounce her first name, but she was also with Celina De La Renta, and she beat Delmi Exo to become the new MLW Women's World Featherweight Champion.
Well, Delmi Exo still has the WXW title, no? Or is that not a thing anymore?
Let's see. WXW.
Right, because they had a title for title match back at some other shit. I think Samhain.
No, not Samhain. Samhain's coming up.
Samhain.
Ava Everett is the current women's champion. She beat Delmi Exo August 25th, 2023 at We Love Wrestling in Hamburg, Germany.
Oh, so she lost it back to her, and MLW just quietly forgot about it, I guess.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then the fucking Filthy Tom came back to MLW.
Was he wearing his Daisy Dukes?
I didn't see the match. He lost to Alex Kane because Davey Boy Smith Jr. had to have some like emergency appendix surgery.
What, do you have to get Teddy Hart's lips removed from his asshole?
No, I don't think that was the case, Tony.
Okay, if you say so, Meltzer.
Yeah, it was appendicitis and then a little bit of the diverticulitis as well. Was it not?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Fuck. That's rough.
He'll be up for a while.
Oh yeah.
At least, yeah.
No, hopefully he'll be back in time to win the Opera Cup again next year.
Oh, 3-time winner.
Fuck yeah, it's his fucking grandfather's cup, isn't it?
Man, yeah. I like him a lot. I don't know why he didn't catch on anywhere. I like him a lot.
Harry?
Yeah.
Good guy.
He changed his last name to Balls.
You remember when Hogan Knows Best, where Hulkster was trying to set him up with Brooke? You ever catch that? Yeah. Hilarious episode.
Not as hilarious as Haku cooking burgers on the grill poolside at the Hulk Mansion.
God, but that's when like all the guys were there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Greg Duggan, Valentine, Knobs, yep. Sags.
Classic. Classic Hogan Knows Best.
That episode where Nick took everyone for a car ride, my favorite.
Some guys came back with some of their heads still.
Did you see who debuted at Impact this past week?
Nick Aldis.
No, man. Fucking Vladimir Kozlov.
Oh, like I heard about this.
Killer, bro.
You know what? I liked Vladimir and Santino when they were doing their shtick. I thought they were entertaining as fuck together.
When they strapped, like, a rocket of all rockets to Vladimir when he came in. He was, like, immediately, like, infused with Triple H and Jeff Hardy. And Jeff Hardy, this is when Jeff Hardy was, like, in that top title picture with even Edge, I think, was up there, too. Like, it was nuts what they did with him. And then all of a sudden, like, he's, like, back down, like, on ECW, feuding with, teaming with Ezekiel Jackson, who I love, too. And being managed by William Regal, and then
the great WWE CW that you fucking assholes gush over.
No, this is ECW.
Love that shit,
you fuckers. Yeah.
The only ECW that matters. That shit I'm watching from 92, 93, 94 doesn't mean this.
How did Kozlov look?
Awesome. He looked awesome. He came out black suit, black sunglasses. The little heel beard, like it's just starting to stubble in, and he aligned himself with Dirty Dango, helped Dango win a five-way match.
Nice. Impact does love their five ways, don't they?
Yeah. So, well, it was to see who would get the 20th spot in the Gauntlet Battle Royal that's taking place this Saturday at Bound for Glory, Tony. Another pay-per-view.
That's right. Picks. And Tony, I don't know if you listened to the show before, but now NXT is bringing back two new tournaments.
Oh, I know about the Dusty Classic. No,
is that the breakout men's breakout tournament, baby?
What's the men's breakout? Is that the classic?
It's the opposite of the women's breakout. They're two separate tournaments.
Yeah, is that what Cody announced last week?
No, it's both of them.
He announced the tournament and the return of the Dusty Classic, yes. Oh, which I think...
So three tournaments!
Well, the women's one's already taken place.
That's right.
Oh, it already happened?
No, yeah. It's still going on.
No, it's still going on.
Wonderful.
I think the Authors of Pain return at the Dusty Classic and they win it.
Ooh. They've been sitting on the shelf for a while and apparently have been signed for like a year and a half or something.
Yeah, and Paul Ellering's floating around the PC too, so...
Ooh, did not see
that.
We're
going all guns blazing there.
Tony? Give us something. Come on. Tell us how you really feel.
So, this is how you ask him for something and he gives you something and you're not going to like it.
Yeah. Oh, no, but it's going to be entertaining as shit. You know that.
For who? Until he puts a foot on the screen and you freak out.
That's fair.
Be careful what you wish for. Come on, Kev. We've been doing this for so long. Don't encourage him. He's incorrigible.
I just wanted to get his opinion on this. That's all.
Well, how about Impact's Bound for Glory, Tony? Let's talk about that. Are you excited for a pay-per-view this Saturday night?
No.
Headline, Alex Shelley defends the Impact World Championship against Josh Alexander.
Oh, he's a dead man walking.
Will Ospreay, Mike Bailey?
Nah.
Chris Sabin, Kenta for the X Division Championship? Trinity, Mickey James?
Mm.
The Call Your Shot Gauntlet 20-person battle royal. The winner receives a trophy and a contract they can invoke anytime within 1 year for a championship match of their choosing.
Is this only men or is this women as well?
It's everybody, intergender.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Monsters Ball 4-Way Dance, PCO, Rhino, Steve Macklin, and Moose.
Thanks.
I feel like Moose has become the guy that they just kind of always find a place to stick him. Like, when I think Monsters Ball, I don't think of Moose, but there he is. Right?
Top guy shit.
No, I get it, but there's a lot of times, like, especially when you're talking about Impact, Kevin, it's like, oh, yeah, like, it was a triple threat match for the Knockouts title, and it's like
Moose.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, how the fuck did Moose get? Oh, he won some tournament. He got in. Okay. It's like, really?
I said Moose earned that women's championship, right?
But it's like Moose is in everything. Like, I guess put a little Moose on it, you know?
Now, that I could go for. If Moose wins it and he challenges for the women's title, so I could go for that. That could be entertaining.
What did they call, like, when Gorilla Monsoor, when like, he changed his name to, like, Monsoir? Like they'd have to like maybe like Moose would be like Moose.
Oh yeah, kind of like a Santina.
Yeah, like Santina. Yeah, he'd be like, yeah.
Why would he have to change his name? Women can challenge the men for the title. Why can't ooh, he just
changes.
Woman?
He changes the spelling. No. It's Mousse. Mouse.
Yeah.
Moose. Chocolate Moose.
Oh my God! Imagine Moose coming to the ring in drag, like he's wearing a dress with a fucking blonde wig.
What are we doing here, people?
Listen, if you're gonna be the women's champion or the Knockouts champion, you got to play the part.
No, you
right?
don't.
Oh,
not in 2023.
Even better. Even better. God, he wins the Knockouts title and he makes it a boxing championship. And he's like Moose the Knockout. And he comes to the ring with fucking boxing gloves on and shit. You know, and a fucking Tony, hood. And
putting
he comes
everybody
to the
down
ring.
With his moose knuckle.
Oh ah! My God, dude. I'm so glad you stole that.
The
annoyed impact... laughing Kevin always gets me.
The Impact Knockouts World Tag Team Championships are on the line as MK Ultra, Killer Kelly and Master Slamovich defend against Deonna Purrazzo and Tasha Steelz. And your World Tag Team Champions, the Rascals, take on ABC.
ABC, easy as one, two, three.
Oh, we have confirmed.
Oh, shit.
So far, here's gonna who's going to be. Here's who's going to be.
Here's going to who's going to. Here's going to who's going to.
Da, 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 da. Jake, here's who's in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet Battle Royal so far. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Jordan
six,
Grace is in
seven,
there.
7, 8, 9, 10.
Right?
I'm sure there's a dear, great, close personal friend in there.
Jordan Grace. Ding.
Matt Cardona. No. Brian Myers.
Ding.
Who's the guy? Joe Hendry?
No,
no not. Joe Hendry. Sorry.
Oh, boo. Dirty Dingleberry?
Rhino.
Correct. Dirty dang, no, Rhino's in the Monsters Ball match.
Oh, God, you said that.
Heath. Balls. No Heath yet. We got Dirty Dango, we got Jordan Grace, we got Brian Myers. 3 out of 10.
Eddie Edwards?
Well, there's only 10 in there?
So far announced, man. What the fuck? Are you listening?
Sorry.
It's okay. No Eddie Edwards.
And sorry. Rosemary's in that tag match?
Thing? No, Rosemary's not in anything yet.
Oh.
Kazarian?
No Kazarian. We're missing 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 men. 5 men.
Ooh, sounds like a party.
5 men, 2 ladies. One's a past guest of the show. Two past guests of the show.
Female?
Male.
Oh. Steve Macklin.
No.
Austin Theory.
No. Okay.
Myron Reed.
No.
Heidi Lee Morgan.
No.
Trey Miguel.
DJ Z.
No.
Oh, Ace Austin. No, he's
no.
ABC.
God damn it.
Jake
something, Champagne Singh, Eric Young, Shira, Kylan King, Jody Threat, Bully Ray.
Oh, Bully Ray's in this fucking thing?
Of course he fucking is. Did you guys, let me ask you guys a question.
Oh boy.
No. Oh boy. Have you ever seen job guy Steve Blackman from like 89, 90?
I saw him around lately. Yeah, that's why you're bringing it up, right?
Yeah, dude, he got fucking what? Malaria? And then he had to like relearn how to walk. And that's why they gave him his, because they were like interested in him back in the early 90s.
And this is the guy that after like the entire Benoit thing said that he never did steroids. And you look at that picture and you're just like, okay.
Maybe he was all natural, Kevin.
No way. 89 nor 98 Blackman was not natural.
With all maybe 98.
No, with all due respect, of course. Van Storm also said he never did it. And I find that hard to believe too.
Well, John Cena's never touched the stuff apparently. And, you know, he was a fucking monster.
Mm-hmm. I trust Steve Blackman.
I mean, if you're going to trust anybody, it's Steve Blackman. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to get fucking hit with that kendo stick. Fuck that. I always thought he had such underrated theme music, too. Yeah.
It wasn't his first one. His first one stunk. Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun.
He was jobbing on what, like Main Event?
So I don't know how many appearances he actually had. In 89, I know he had at least one or at least a tryout.
Okay. Give me a second. Give me a second. I'll look that up.
But
I got it.
Then he like he did. I do know the malaria story. That was batshit crazy.
Yeah, I'm not aware of this.
And then he came back on their radar later on, and like later on in like 97, 98. Oh, so good.
He wrestled a lot in Stampede.
Oh, yeah, he was a Stampede guy.
The Islanders, Haku, High Chief, Afi, and Tama defeated Brady Boone, Outback Jack, and Steve Blackman on an episode of Superstars in April of 1988. Let me see. Let me move up.
He also has a win over David San Martino at a house show in 1988.
Good for him.
So does fucking Terry Gibbs.
God. Look, everyone should be David San Martino.
That's the only match they have of him here?
I have three matches. I have that. I have him beating David San Martino at a house show. And then in 89, he wrestled a house show where he lost to... God, you do have it, stupid cage match, because I just fucking looked at it.
Kind of. He reminds me of Billy Jack Haynes, by the way.
He beat Iron Mike Sharp.
Yeah, at the Palace in Auburn Hills.
Fuck yeah.
Doesn't he look like Billy Jack Haynes? He looks like Billy Jack Haynes a little bit.
In that picture, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, except he lost his ability to walk, and Billy Jack lost his mind. Oh, Steve Black. Oh, this is Jose Estrada. That's 1997.
Man, he spent a lot. I got to find his 1988 New Japan stuff. Look at this. Steve R. Blackman everywhere.
Steve R. Blackman.
Hey, I didn't name him. He's losing to Fujinami. In under
He's not my minutes, black though. Man. He's R. Blackman.
Oh, whoops. He was in a tag team with Johnny K9. Woof.
Of course he was.
Woof. That was nice, Matt.
Buzz Sawyer, Steve Williams. Jeez Louise. Tony St. Clair.
When was Saturn doing jobs in the Federation?
To Uranus?
Right, yeah. Is that a little bit later?
What do you mean?
Perry Saturn. I got you. Give me 1 second here. Career.
Rear.
You know, I know the Pitbulls were doing jobs back then.
1992. Okay. Him and Chris Duffy lost to the Legion of Doom on a wrestling challenge, and he lost to a Tatanka on Superstars. Mm-hmm. Well, Nelly's butthole's in my face.
Did Tatanka shit can him on his head?
He was back in 95 at a house show as the Eliminators. And they defeat Smooth Operator and Tim McNeeney.
And they had a match on Raw, too.
I can only imagine what the Smooth Operator's theme music was.
I bet you it was Smooth Operator. Yeah, it was under the ECW banner, though. 1996.
You're welcome.
He was in he did work WCW in 95, too.
Of course he did. Was he on Saturday Night Taping? Mr. Saturn?
No. John Cronus and Perry Saturn defeat Barry Houston and Kenny Kendall at the May 5th, 1995 WCW Saturday Night Taping.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Also on the show, Stars and Stripes defeated George South and Jim Rogers. Brian Pillman defeated Lieutenant James Earl Wright. The Nasty Boys beat Chris Nelson and Steve Strong. Oh, Vader defeat Eon Weston. Mm-hmm. Jim Duggan defeats Sonny Trout. Arn Anderson and Vader beat Stars and Stripes. Sting beat the Terrorist.
Arn Anderson and Vader?
Yes.
I'm sorry. That threw me for a loop.
Alex Wright beat Bob Starr. Craig Pittman beat Johnny Taylor. Mang beat Barry Hardy. The Blue Bloods beat Eddie Jack and Scott Armstrong. These fucking tapings look awesome.
Eddie Jack, was that a name or a command? Let's
see. Eddie Jack was the American Destroyer, the Enforcer, and Perfect 10. He wrestled from 95 to 99. Oh, he did some jobs in WWF.
Of course. Eddie Jack Corn, and they don't care.
Oh, man. Excuse me.
Eddie Jack.
What? 2-on-1 handicap match in 1996. Eddie Jack and Jason Arn defeated Steve Austin.
Matt, is Eddie Jack still alive? And if so, will you reach out to him and get him on the podcast?
No, I don't want to talk to Eddie Jack.
We got to talk to Eddie Jack. This taping is historic.
Kind of in this Eddie Jack situation.
He's got a Facebook.
Let's get Eddie Jack on this show.
Edward Jack Bagic. We got five mutual friends.
Let's see.
Let's see. Haku, Val Venus, Bill Alfonso, Nick Patrick, and Big Vito are all friends with Edward.
All right.
It's a bit of an eclectic group.
Yeah, let's get some Eddie Jack.
So we can so when we have him on the show, we can get him, we can call him Eddie Jack's on.
Nailed it. Oof. That was huge.
Sure
was
you big. Did.
That's gonna pop a number.
Boys. Put a nail in it.
Yeah.
Oh man, my butt hurts.
So does mine, bro.
If both your butts hurt?
Yeah, because we were fucking bumping donuts earlier.
I was gonna say you guys went doubleheader on it.
That's what I call writing a brief.
Yeah, writing a brief.
That's why Matt was so excited, like, oh, I can review the brief.
I can't believe my wife didn't call me back.
And my, well, she fucking hates you, bro.
She's out with Eddie Jack right now.
Oh my god, she's like, oh, this fucking guy.
Eddie Jack?
I do, and he won't fucking leave me alone. She's yelling at the phone. Yeah, I love you too. Stop calling me.
She's like, nope, I can't reject call because then he'll know.
That's a good point. I would know. No, I told you missed it earlier, Tony. We ripped out all the. Oh, speak of the devil.
Oh.
She called him?
Called your wife.
Is that Eddie Jack?
Oh.
What's up?
I don't know. You called me?
The guys wanted to know if I had a sexy voice.
No.
All right.
They're all laughing
what,
at me.
What is she? What do you ask her? What it is that?
Bathroom and there's water in the basement.
I'm sorry. What?
You heard me.
You went in mommy's bathroom and there's water in the basement.
There's a flood.
Oh no!
Oh no!
There
what?
Was a water leak.
Uh huh.
Flood in mommy's bathroom.
Why didn't you tell me?
Podcasting.
Well, that's a little more. That's a little more important.
Mm. Well, mommy's clogging toilets.
You have a sexy voice, so.
I wasn't worried. No, I was not worried about it. They wanted to know, and they wanted me to ask you. And I didn't. I saw you went to Lowe's. I thought you were getting stuff for the closet.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Well, yes, but that wasn't the primary reason.
Oh no.
Gotcha.
It's not good.
All right. I'll see you when you get home.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
So, mommy's taking some fucking killer dumps, huh?
Yeah. It's dirt. It's all that fucking dirt.
That fucking dirt. God damn it.
Well, god damn it, Nelly.
Oh no, nothing's wrong.
I mean,
right at the Roman household.
But I mean, there was no real urgency. She's like, oh, there's a leak, and she was buying closet stuff too. I mean,
yeah. Well, now we got to see what's going on now. I got to scope it out.
Oh boy.
Oh, I thought he was going to say scoop it out.
I was going to say, what are the odds it's the dirt?
I don't know. I don't know where the leak is coming from.
Yeah, it's got to. Well, she said it was the faucet, maybe? No,
she didn't say. It's leaking into the basement.
Oh, well, at least it's going somewhere that's not going to bother anything.
Oh, there's stuff in the basement.
Oh, well, then you're fucked.
Yeah, check it out.
She probably puts, I know your wife. She probably got some buckets down there collecting shit.
Hopefully it's not shit.
She's proactive.
Well, I mean, Kev, if there is shit, I would hope that she's collecting the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want the shit to get everywhere. The water, you could deal with. The shit, that'd be a problem. Oh, boy, somebody's sleepy.
No, I had to fucking... We ripped out of the closet, and then I had to walk up and down the stairs all the time to bring
everything out. Oh, my God.
But you don't want to get a fucking lift.
Throw the shit out the window, bro.
I'm not throwing anything out my window. What's wrong with you?
Nothing, but if it's a lot of work going up and down the stairs, just toss it and then go pick it up.
Took its toll on me, man. I'm not used to all that exercise.
Get a lift.
Yeah, you should have got a lift, bro.
Fuck, I'll fucking lift my balls into your mouth.
Would you?
Would you?
Would you?
We got, what do we got? Cold Stone, Tim Boston next week,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Great. Oh, good. We're wrapping up. I like this.
Yeah, well, we've hit a wall here. What else is there to talk about? Did we not cover something?
No, that's fine.
Everyone's good?
Look, this was a little bonus for me today that I even got to join you guys for a little while, so huzzah.
Yeah, the first half of the show is great. Second half, not so much, so.
You know.
What are you?
I was looking through some shitty facts to try to do some over the tops, but yeah, I'm not.
You talked about everything.
I'm not feeling it tonight.
We're so deep into it.
We couldn't,
you know, we couldn't go over the top. So people are, you know, we'll see if they want it back next week.
Oh, look at that. The Mott Spock chiming in. Yes, can't wait for Cold Stone.
Listen, if you want Cold Stone, tell your wife to take you over to the fucking mall. I'm sure there's a Cold Stone there. Nothing? Wow.
Oof. Are you,
Even fucking Kevin's yawning at that one.
Yeah, that was rough.
I tried.
Can
we get Stone Cold ET next week? Like the week after? No.
I can see.
No.
We have to have Eddie Jack on.
Yeah, but... I'd rather talk to Eddie Jack than Cold Stone ET, whatever.
Would you rather talk to Eddie Jack, though?
No.
I think, Tony, you should lead the Cold Stone Tim Boston interview since you're so excited.
Ooh, I think I'll get a call Magenta. See what he's.
Oh, are we gonna get a Magenta?
Oh, there it is. That's $1 million idea right there.
Fuck yeah.
Like that.
I'll have to see if Magenta's available next Monday.
I bet your schedule's fucking packed to the rafters.
He might be writing a brief.
Yeah. I think he's working Crash with Lance on Noir AI.
Oh yeah, what are you?
Yeah, thanks, Kev, for fucking bringing up that I don't know how to pronounce his name
It had nothing to do with you, man.
A non-discreet way.
It had nothing to do with you.
I knew I was butchering it.
It had nothing to do with you.
It was like he was trying to sneak it in.
No, I swear.
No, 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 not you, not you. When Matt was pronouncing the name, he was like, Lance, oh, he was fucking sliding it in so he could grow. We're here with Lance Way.
Really, I've been curious about because Matt, absolutely nothing to do with you. I would
Kevin,
never do
it's
that.
It's a joke, man. Relax.
Oh, okay. No, I just want
take a fucking fiver, bro. We're good.
We're here with Lance. Oh, wait.
We're just having fun. We're just having fun, guy.
Great point.
Victory right. Monday.
All right. Victory Monday. Oh, you're right.
The Devils are losing right now. It's not great.
Yeah, but they scored two unanswered, so that's good.
What the fuck is Victory Monday?
Oh, well, if you watched football, Tony, you would know if your team wins on Sunday, then Monday is Victory Monday. You were happy. Wear the gear. I wore my Dolphin stuff out this morning. Don't fucking eye roll, Tony. All of America is giant football fans and not fucking football soccer. Oh, American football, the real fucking football.
God damn right. God dang right.
All right, it's not my fault you don't like sports. You spend all your time fucking off on Fortnite or whatever fucking dumb shit you do.
Squad I got to talk to you about that too, Tony.
See what I mean? Handsome Kevin going to be joining the squad.
You know, maybe we need to break this show up.
What are you talking about?
Like we do like Raw is War and then Warzone. Like me and KJG do the first half and then you two can just suck each other off for the second half.
I'm down.
Thank you.
Lay it on me, fella.
All right. First half of the show, Stone Cold Tim Boston. Second half, Tony pretending to be Lanny Poffo.
No, not myself.
You got to sell something. You can't. He's in Minnesota. You can't suck his dick through the stream yard.
Tickets are cheap, man. I was looking the other day. Under 200, I saw the other day. So,
You got that kind of Skrilla there, buddy?
I'll fly out there if Tony wants to, you know, take a ride on the dinghy.
I don't think Tony would know what to do if there was a hard dick in his face.
Says you. Mommy's pipes wouldn't be the only thing leaking.
Well, we're going to find out.
Eddie Jack would know.
Well, of course Eddie Jack would know.
Eddie Jack knows all.
That's right. I was going to say that. That was awesome.
Well, this was awesome. Special guest, special thanks to our guest, Tony, for joining us tonight.
Hey,
and Lance.
You, yes.
Lance, I know why.
I know why.
He told a great shitting story, Tony. You should listen back.
Was it better than mine shitting myself when I was brushing my teeth?
It involves Sam Houston and his white jeans, so.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, it already sounds better.
We'll be back next week with Cold Stone, Tim Boston, and all the happenings in the world of professional wrestling. Watch all the wrestling you like this week. Enjoy it. Have fun. Don't fucking spend all day on Twitter being a jack off.
That's right.
Like, rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. And we'll be back next week with episode 660 next week. How do you like that?
WFAN.
Oh, man. We're coming up on, oh, man. December 4th is episode 666, the number of the beast. We need to get the devil for that episode.
Or Snowy.
No, Snowy's not the devil.
He's the fucking devil incarnate.
He's not. He's a fucking Canadian dude. He's the least devil out of anyone.
Have you seen him? He looks like a problem.
No,
he does.
He looks like Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, he looks like Marty Jannetty if he was Canadian. He holds the door for you, helps you with your groceries. He's fucking boring.
Snowy's boring?
I don't know. He looks boring. He doesn't look metal.
All right, you know what? I can see that part of it, sure.
Hey, want to listen to some heavy metal, eh?
Metal.
Hey.
What is he, fucking Austrian now?
Anvil. Nice. Well, let me get the door for this young lady, this old lady.
She aged quick.
Would you like some poutine? How about the hockey, eh?
For sure, for sure.
I like the hockey, eh? But not like the Canadians like the hockey, eh? What are you talking about?
Yeah, everything's a boot and a. And
a boot.
And the ace.
Gonna go down to the Tim Hortons. Gonna listen to some Queensryche on the way. Hey.
Said it. Did you guys simultaneously say hey?
Jets up.
Oh, boy.
Jet up. Jet up. Great joke, Tony. You gotta listen back. Made a great 9/11 joke.
No, we didn't.
No, I did.
Were there hot teenage boys on the 9/11 joke?
All right, that's it. Good night. Oh, say it, Kevin. Say it.
No,
say
it. He's got it. We got to do the, outro.
He has to do it after the outro.
Yeah. All right, goodbye, everyone.
Did you add the new guy to the outro?
Nope.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. The executive producer is Manny Kratzo. The assistant executive producer is Kathy Hummer. Our producers are Brendan Heaney, Danny Rusinello, Kate Hensler, Matt Garifo, Mike Peterson, Ryan Schlong, Thomas Copps, David Henry Bauer III, Michael Hammond, and William Mercier Jr. Special thanks to all our assistant producers as well. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Good night, Diana!
Welcome back, Roll!
Before you hit the button, too, I forgot to mention, congratulations, David Henry Bauer III. He got married this past week.
That's right, yeah. You know what else I heard about the wedding? His pal Antonio Horseman was playing the music.
Yeah, I'm surprised we weren't invited. That's obnoxious.
They eloped.
Oh, they eloped.
On an antelope.
Mm-hmm. Cantaloupe. I'm already married.
Ooh.
Matt.
I heard you cut a hole in the cantaloupe.
Devils just scored 4-3, 2 minutes and 23 seconds left.
200 minutes left in the first period.
Well, we'll be up all night, baby.
Fuck yeah.
I don't mind.
Congratulations, Bauer.
Hey, what's good on pizza that's not on pussy?
What?
Crust.
Hey, you're still here. Great. Appreciate all the support, as always, listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And for you, if you've been on the fence about joining the Patreon, we have something great for you. We threw together a little excerpt from our 29th bonus episode. So if you join the Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, for $3 a month, you get access to this bonus episode and the numerous amount of content that came before this. There's a lot more than 30 episodes on there, I promise you. So enjoy this little excerpt from bonus episode 29, the PWI 500 Top 10 2023 versus 2003 with Tony, Handsome Kevin, KJG, and Brundon. Remember, if you enjoy this, there's more of this available at patreon.com/wizardspodcast for $3 a month. Enjoy, and thanks for supporting the Shining Wizards.
Number two.
All right, we got Roman Reigns going against Triple H.
What's Trips doing in 2002-2003?
Squashing people.
Fuck that's yeah, right. Dude. Squashing your people.
And on a more consistent basis than Roman Reigns has been.
And wrestling a hell of a lot more, by the way.
That's yeah. exactly what I meant by what I said.
I thought so. I thought he was just reiterating the point.
Yeah, kind of.
Nah, well.
I mean, remind me what, I mean, it's got to.
It all started with Eric Bischoff handing him the world championship in September of 2002.
That's an honor. To be fair, he does fight Ric Flair for it that night. And wins.
Ric Flair had a fucking chance.
It's a hell of a match.
You got two hands. You always got a chance.
That right there, James Ellsworth.
Who said that? Zach Gowen. Why did I think that was Zach Gowen?
It was James Ellsworth.
That was Ellsworth. Gowen was, if I had 2 feet, I'd kick your ass.
Jesus.
I thought that was Zach Gowen.
And Triple H actually merged the Intercontinental title into the World Championship.
By beating Jethro Nero
European
Hart.
Title, I think, as well. Or
no, he beat that? Kane no. for that. He beat Kane.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I believe the hardcore Jeff Hardy merged the Intercontinental and the Hardcore with RVD, and then Triple H merged the Intercontinental and the World.
Like basically every title got merged into the World.
There were
at
just
that
two
point.
Singles belts on each. Yeah. So.
We also got the Katie Vick shit going on cool. here. Ooh, that's we that's also cool. got Shawn Michaels coming back as the fucking Dutch master at the Elimination Chamber, beating him for the belt
Doo-doo
for
pants
a couple of weeks. Let me see. Evolution is formed during this time period.
Ooh,
successful title defense against Booker T. Yeah, you got to go Triple H here, bro.
I'm going
Triple H.
Tony,
it's close, but I'm going
Triple
H. Can
you do me a favor just because it's so close? Can you pull up Roman Reigns in this time period so we could see exactly what he... We all know how great he is, but can... Because this is just so close that I want to see exactly what he's done.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's like, man, like at that time, Triple H was damn near untouchable.
Yeah.
And he was hitting it out of the park every time he went out there on the mic, in the ring, no matter what. And like, not to say Roman Reigns isn't doing that, but... To me, I think the edge is the amount that Triple H was doing it at that time.
I'm before I hear this, I'm leaning, unless this changes my mind, I'm leaning towards Triple H.
Yeah.
Here we go. June 17th episode of SmackDown. This is 2022. Defends the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. He's already got both belts against Riddle. Attacked by Brock Lesnar. Beats him in a last man standing at SummerSlam. Retains against Drew McIntyre, clash at the castle, easy for me to say. Beats Logan Paul at Crown Jewel. The Bloodline wins War Games at Survivor Series. Universal Championship. Let me see. Defeats Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble. Defeats Cody Rhodes at Mania. Elimination Chamber beats Sami Zayn, who didn't finish his story. What happened after Mania? Night of Champions. Reigns at Sokoa defeats unsuccessfully challenged Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Was he pinned during that match?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so there you go. And June 24th, he surpasses Pedro Morales. That was it. Money in the Bank July 1st, which does not count for this. So there you go. Some high-profile wins. But, you know, it's a hell of a year, but I got to go Triple H, man.
Trips is out there on Raw doing it. Like, he's getting things done every weekend, the pay-per-views. For me, I'm going to go Triple H.
And he's putting money on Randy Orton and Batista at this point, too.
Yeah. That's a pretty impressive run for Roman on pay-per-views, though.
I hated Triple H at this point, too, and I would have to go with him as well.
I was leaning towards Triple H, but that's a pretty damn good year for Roman. So even though I'm outvoted, I'm gonna go with Roman.
All right, fair enough. That was a tough one. That was probably the toughest
one. Yeah, that was really good one.